Mr. Walker. You should have allowed nature to take its course. And it will anyway.
So let me in the freaking house!
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
You guys like Bruce Lee movies? I saw Enter the Dragon 6 times.
No!
It's a dream, Alex! What do you think you want in here? Haven't you figured that out yet? Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Edward!
So, how's the house hunting going?
Oh, it's great. I'll have a house in no time.
We have yet to set foot inside a house.
Hey, Ed, $10 if you give your order to the waitress in rhyme.
Oh, God. What can I get you, folks?
Well, Ed, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
Okay. Let's see, what beverage will I have? Let's see, how about a frosty glass of your iced tea? And then to start for my appetizer, I would like the gravy fries. Or maybe I'll have my fries with cheese, yes. I'll change my order, if you please. And after that, well, for my main course, I will have the tuna melt, of course.
Ed, you can't rhyme course with course.
And perhaps a side of horse.
A side of horse.
Instead, we tried to catch the Speedy Gonzalez. We should have caught Slowpoke Rodriguez, the slowest machine on Mexico.
Slowpoke Rodriguez? He's for me.
Wait, Jose! Jose, I got to tell you something!
Aha! Senor Slowpoke, you will be good with the chili peppers!
Hey, Jose, something I forgot to tell... That's what I wanted to tell you. Slowpoke Rodriguez, he packed a gun.
Now he tells me.
Don't know about the future, that's anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting all depressed. Buy up your pad and pencil, I give you a piece of my mind. In my opinionation, the sun is gonna surely shine. Stop all your fussing, slap on a smile. Come out and walk in the sun for a while. Don't fight the feeling, you know you wanna have a good time. And in my opinion, nation, the sun is gonna surely shine.
Why'd they call you nuts?
Because I'm crazy.
You don't look crazy.
Oh, I'm insane. You should see me without my meds. My last job, didn't take my meds one day. An hour later, I was walking around naked with peanut butter in my hair, telling people my name was Zongo. I delivered an old lady a cup of hot water with my balls in it.
Yeah, talk about your red zinger.
Yeah, but I don't remember any of it. My balls were red, though.
Are you serious?
Totally. No, I'm joking. But it is true.
Whoa, unbelievable.
Whoa, hey, everybody, woo!
Whoa! Oh, boy!
Hey, everyone! Welcome! It's time for Nowhere Mulberry. Welcome to the show, everyone. Film, television, pop culture, that's what we talk about every Friday here on Ustream, I guess, at nimchat.com. Yeah, we'll just say that. We'll plug our own site, right? We need to plug Ustream. But hey, everyone, welcome to the show. I am the J-Strom. I do the show with Steven, the pop culture zealot. Hey, Steven, how's it going?
It's going great. How about you?
Welcome to the show. It's another Friday. Isn't it exciting?
Yes.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Okay. How are you?
Doing fantastic. What do you mean just okay, buddy? What's wrong?
I'm excellent.
Oh, okay.
Every time I say okay, you ask what's wrong.
I'm just like, hey, come on. You got to pretend you're doing all right. Just so, you know, just so I'll move on. Fuck up. Just do like I do. I ignore everything that's bothering me, and I just kind of pretend. Whee! Oh, wait, that's kind of passive, isn't it? Hey, what are you going to do, right? I'm kidding. Guys, I'm really happy. Let me just take another shot of Diet Coke, right? No, but everyone, welcome to the show. We're excited to talk about our favorite subjects, film, television, pop culture, DVDs, etc., 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 you know, that kind of stuff. And this week we have lots of voicemail. Hey, how about that? You know, we didn't have any last week, which, you know, we've been spoiled, right?
Yes.
We usually have an Adam or Sean or Rick or all three for weeks in a row. Just mean show after show and
yeah. Throw well, like 2 weeks ago we got spoiled with the, you know, with the the guy who doesn't leave his name.
Yeah, the mystery man. Yeah, we have the mystery man.
Jeez, I don't even remember that.
It was a few weeks ago. You might have been out that episode.
But this week we have six voicemails.
Jesus.
And even two of them, I'm pretty sure two of them we've never heard from before, and that's awesome. Because every week, you know, we say, hey, guys, leave some feedback. If you listen to the show, you've never told us, let us know, man. We'd really like to know. I mean, we're happy we have these regular listeners that we always hear from, and they talk to us all the time, and I think of them as friends now. And become a friend to Nowhere Mulberry, right? Talk to us. If you enjoy the show, I'm so glad you do, but I want to hear from you and just say hi. Hey, how's it going?
I think I've added two people this week on Facebook that were NIM fans.
Yeah, you know, that's a good
thing. They keep popping up.
That's good you bring that up, Stephen, because when people request friends, they should say they're a fan of the show. If
yeah,
that's why they're on.
I normally just ignore them.
Because sometimes I'm like, who is this
I've got
person?
One that I don't know right now, and I clicked on, there's no mutual friend, so I don't know if...
Yeah, it's sometimes it's just like, I don't know. But if you just say, hey, I love the show, and I just wanted... It's like, oh, okay, check, you know, it's fine. But sometimes, you know, if you have a suspicious picture, you know, you look kind of... You're wearing a ski mask in your picture on Facebook, not going to accept you.
A mugshot.
Yeah, you're holding the little numbers up. It's like, I don't know. Well, okay, I'll friend them. He's probably learned his lesson, right, from his incarceration.
Or he might still be incarcerated.
He's been scared straight. So.
He's in the library.
We've got a jailhouse friend.
They should provide Nowhere to Mulberry to inmates. But, of course, that would be scary when we start receiving inmate voicemail. But it's sure a captive audience.
You got a boyfriend?
I'm all about the captive audience. Like, hey, you got nowhere else to go? Listen
you
to
like
this.
A literal captive audience.
Yeah. I can turn this shit off. I can't stand that DVD song anymore. No, you're kidding. They'd love that. They'd want us to perform it live in the jailhouse, wouldn't they?
Yeah. So like Johnny Cash. We're gonna go pull some prison.
Yeah. Can you see that? Us doing Nowhere Mulberry live in a prison. It's like, guys, no. We made it! Yeah! This is what I've been dreaming
of.
If
one of us end up going to prison.
We're in Oz. No, that wouldn't be good. I don't want to get shanked with a sharpened toothbrush.
I would have to go there with a metal chastity belt. Like in Robin Hood.
Hey, we all would, man. I wouldn't want to go in there. You know what I mean?
Whoa!
Yeah, you said it, Joey. Now, guys, you want to get started on our voicemail since we have so much of it?
Sure.
Let's do it. The first voicemail we have is from Marvin. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. This is Marvin from Fall, South Dakota. I thought I would call and leave a voicemail since you guys in the beginning last week. Actually, my first voicemail I've ever left. I've been listening to the show since 2007. Whenever you guys did that Oscar live show, that was the first show I ever listened to with you guys.
Whoa.
Nice. A couple things I want to talk about. One of them, I was listening to old school episodes, and whenever the cult news is like my favorite thing because it gives Jason an excuse to play Tom Cruise drops. It's my favorite thing. For some reason, the Tom Cruise drops gets me every time. The one where he laughs, and then the one where he talks them out louder about how he doesn't know the history of psychology. That was hilarious. Or therapy. So it was one of the two.
I do.
Yes, he
and
does.
The second thing I was going to talk about is that I saw that Bill posted on his Facebook before I left for work this morning about Red Dead Redemption, about the it's going to be online multiplayer, like basically an open world where you create groups and posses. It just, I don't know, that game looks really cool, and then when it comes out, we can make a Nim posse. I just wanted to know what you guys thought of that. I know Bill probably could describe better than I could because I don't have the information in front of me. Well, good job, guys. Love the show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Marvin. I appreciate that. Bill, you were telling me something about that game just today.
Yeah, Red Dead Redemption is a Western game created by Rockstar, the guys that are famous for the Grand Theft Auto games.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's what he's talking about is they've incorporated this multiplayer element into the game where you can have eight people in your posse, so a full party of eight people, and there's you can go up against other posses. You can explore this open environment and do different tasks. You can basically make the world your own. It looks so amazing. I put the video up on my Facebook page if you want to check it out.
Yeah, I need to check that out. That sounds cool.
Is that PC?
And the game looks spectacular.
Xbox?
Yeah. Okay. Xbox and PS3, I'm sure. Probably even PC eventually. I don't know if it's coming out at launch, but normally Rockstar moves it to PC, but we'll be playing on the Xbox 360.
You know, Bill, going back to the Facebook thing, a couple of people have wanted to play Battlefield with me. Mm-hmm. You know, what's cool is, you know, people want to friend us on Xbox Live, but I don't know who they are because they don't go by their real name. They don't even go by the handle they use in the forum, so I have no idea. Because I'll get invites to play games, and I'm like, I don't know who you are, you know. Just tell me who you are, and that's cool. That's all I need to know, you know.
Well, and a lot of times, you know, there's like the spam invites even on Xbox Live for people that are looking for an achievement in Halo 3 and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's so lame. I've gotten those. I'm like, who the hell are you?
They just people just randomly friending people, trying to get their get their friend list up high so they can get an achievement.
You get some special armor in Halo 3 if you invite so many people to a game or something.
Gotcha.
I recorded a voice yesterday as I was playing Bad Company just for Bill to hear.
Oh.
Because these two guys, like if I don't have my headset plugged in, I hear the chatter on the center channel.
Mm-hmm.
And these two guys in the game on the squad I was with were fighting. They were like verbally attacking each other. And it was hilarious. I was playing laughing my ass off because they were threatening each other. And the guy was like, well, guess what, buddy? I got your ISP. I'm hacking your ass. What do you think about that, huh? And he's like, ooh, bring it on, dude. I'm so scared. And I was just laughing my ass off. I was like, dude, where's my digital recorder? I got to record this. And I somehow messed it up. And the only thing I have is him bitching at the squad for losing. You guys effing suck. You effing
It's a kid that sounds like sex man. And every other word is the F word. Or suck, or cock, or, you know, it just...
It's like, wow. But it was hilarious, though. I was just laughing the whole time. It's like, this kid is hilarious.
Yeah, so, we're always in parties whenever we, you know, we go into a private party whenever we play Battlefield, so we don't get to hear any of that stuff. So, from now on, we need to just stay in a squad and listen to all this craziness.
I know. I don't know. I wish I could have recorded everything. It really made me upset that I couldn't get it because I was like picturing the YouTube video with me posting and like being like, oh man, this thing is viral, man. Listen to this idiot on here. Screwed it up. Didn't get to record. I'm telling you, it would have been a viral video. Except it was just
they were arguing over who was the better helicopter pilot, right?
And he was like, "All right, dude, I'll let you take over." And they're flying around for a while. And he goes, "Guess what, dude? You suck. Oh, F you, man. You suck. I've killed like 30 freaking people right now." He was like, "Well, how come your stats say you killed like 6 people? Go to hell." And it was just going back and forth. And it was just like, wow. It was hilarious.
I got your IP.
I just love that. Xbox. When he started threatening to hack him, I was like, what? That it was awesome. Well,
I love like,
good luck
people.
Getting through my firewall, buddy.
Whoa, unbelievable.
Okay, guys, we have another voicemail from Sean. Let's check it out.
Hello, Mulberry. It's Sean from Los Angeles. I wonder if this voicemail, or you guys will get this voicemail in time for the show, because it's about half an hour before you guys start. So if you don't get it, no hard feelings. But if you do, pretty cool.
We didn't get
anyway,
it.
Anyway, as always, last show was awesome. I never have anything bad to say about you guys because
you say awesome.
I really
awful.
Love the show. You provide hours and hours and hours of entertainment for me, and I love you all for it forever.
Awesome.
Yes. I saw on Twitter that Mulberry Bill has caught up with Parenthood and that he likes it. Very cool. Love the show. And I also saw that, Jason and Bill, you guys were twittering about Fringe that came back yesterday, and you said how cool the episode was, and it made me feel really left out because I haven't ever seen an episode, and you guys got me really excited to watch it. But I'm one of those guys that needs to start from the beginning with TV shows. I can't really jump in.
Definitely season
so
one.
I guess I'll have to check that out on the DVD or Blu-ray, I guess.
HD Blu-ray.
Another one of many shows for me to watch or catch up on a DVD.
That's one of the ones I would recommend the most.
And also looking forward to episode 200. It's coming up soon, huh? And
it's pretty close.
200 is a huge number. It's epic. It's going to be a big show, and I'm expecting all of my questions to finally be answered. Just like Lost, I need all my questions answered.
All
like,
the answers.
Where is Mulberry? I want to hear Foggy talk. And
Foggy
talk.
Lots of Foggy
talk.
Really
important.
You're not going
to
believe it.
And if you don't answer these questions and all the other questions that we have, I guess there's not much we can do about it. But anyway, this show will be epic and it'll be awesome.
Foggy was an Ellen James.
200. I know it's just a number, but it's really cool. And you guys have done so many shows and been so consistently entertaining this whole time. So congrats on that. But anyway, I will look forward to hearing the episode whenever that happens. Hopefully I'll be able to catch some of it live tonight, but if not, it's all the podcast. So until then, you guys have a great show and an awesome weekend.
Well, thanks, Sean. No pressure at all, right?
Yeah, really.
I'm excited about episode 200, but I got to tell you, we're on 198 right now. I have no clue. Anything.
I'm excited about the Foggy talk.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Yeah,
I can't wait. I've never heard his voice.
All I'm saying is please don't be angry at us if we don't do anything special. You know, just don't stay mad at us. You know?
You can't stay mad at a pancake mouse.
That's right. You can't stay mad at a pancake mouse.
The only thing Foggy's ever done for me is get me an Orange Julius.
That's true. You know, I would like to have a Foggy interview on episode 200. I'm going to say maybe. I don't know.
I was saying, I thought he was an Ellen Jamesian.
What's that?
What?
You ever watch? You've seen The World According to Garp?
Uh huh.
The guy, the people who cut their tongues out for that kidnapped girl.
Holy shit! Is that obscure?
That was
obscure. I've seen the movie, but I don't know that name.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. let's move on to another voicemail, shall
we'll just
we?
Just supply that rim shot for you.
I'll put some Garp in the next next intro. How about that? Because this week, did anybody notice, guys? There was some Dreamscape in there, huh?
I did.
I promised it to Bill last week. Remember, Bill, you really wanted that?
I did. It's funny. I love that Swiley posted part of the review in the forum, and somebody said that the 1080i transfer on the Blu-ray is the assiest transfer they'd ever seen of a film.
It looks like 480p or something on DVD or something.
Like, wow, assiest. That's a great term to describe a transfer.
Yeah, I love Dreamscape. And when I was pulling the clip, I was like, this movie's great. It's an awesome movie.
it really is horrible.
Haven't you figured that out yet?
No, I just figured it out.
You could do anything in here.
Yeah, hey. All right, guys, let's check out another.
Dreamscape, he's the wizard master.
That would
or the
be awesome.
Wizard master.
Why didn't Dennis Quaid could kick Freddy's ass? You know, because I recently saw they're showing the commercials on TV now with the new Rorschach Freddy. And
did you see the full picture of him?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think that's even more intense than the Robert Englund look.
Yeah,
and he actually looks like a serious burn victim.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I was just thinking Dennis Quaid would own his ass, though. You know, Dreamscape on that kick ass. All right, we got another voicemail from the Mystery Man. What does this guy have to tell us? The Mystery Man. Who is he? I don't know. Do you know Steven? Steven, you know. Tell us who it is.
It's All a right. mystery.
Hi, Jastrom. I'm listening about, I'm probably two behind right now, just the way it is with iTunes. I'm getting around to listening. I listen to them all at once.
No problem. And, nothing to apologize for.
Right now, you and Bill are having this discussion. It seems like you're having an existential crisis about repeating movie bit drops in your intros. Your memory might be a little bit out of sync, but you used to do that stuff all the time in the early days. I mean, if I had $5 for every time I heard the phrase silky dirt, I think I'd be a relatively well-to-do middle-class guy.
Yeah, but that's not in the intro.
With that said, so what? It's still hysterically funny. And I wouldn't worry about it too much. It's still a great show, and I like the fact that you repeat some things occasionally. It just adds to the general hilarity. So keep up the good work now. Ta.
Well, thanks, Mystery Man, but I don't think you understood what I was talking about there. Basically, what I was talking about is when I use like a song or something, like say this week I used Blossom's theme song from the TV show Blossom. I wonder to myself, have I ever used this before? Because I kind of like to challenge myself to use a whole new things that I've never used before. Because, you know, it's been over 100 intros. Different show themes, cartoon themes, movie clips, etc. Not just drops. I mean, I'm just talking about clips from movies that I don't want to repeat myself because I'm challenging myself to come up with something I haven't before. That's basically what I mean. I don't think it'll ruin anything. I'm just saying that I'm trying to challenge myself to do something new.
There's so many TV shows. I don't know how you could.
Well, the main thing is just remembering if I've done it before. Like, have I ever used Blossom?
You have to mine the gray matter.
Yeah, like, have I ever used Blossom before? Like, certain movies, like Weird Science, I've used different scenes from Weird Science over and over again, but never the same scene. Or Stripes or something like that. Or Army of Darkness. I've used different scenes from those movies that I go back. Like last week, I used Mallrats. I've used a different scene from Mallrats before. It's just like, you know.
He farms the Mallrats, but just different segments.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I think when you say silky dirt, that's a drop. I may add like silky dirt, dude, an explosion or something, but that's not what I mean. But I appreciate that. You're basically saying that whatever I do as the intro is fine with you. That's fine. I appreciate that. But I'm just saying that that's not what I meant.
Speaking of silky dirt. I was going to watch or pull the Top Chef clip today, and it caught the ass end of sheer genius.
Yeah,
and Jonathan Anton's there in this like full white suit, black tie, like he's some 80-year-old Italian man.
He's like one of the judges, right?
I guess I don't know. I just saw the very end where they're like hair is important, and they toast, and I was like, oh, this show looks
bang. Horrible. Ladesh.
Yeah, I saw him sitting there, but I was waiting for him to say something, and I my patience wore thin. It's like, come on, dude, say something.
I gotta tell you, I am so excited.
I can't see him without thinking of Wes in the Road Warrior. I just can't do it.
If you have Jonathan on your show, let him talk about himself, right? Just like, dude, tell me about your salon. It's like, oh, well, you know.
Major issues.
But if he's
you
just going to
hear
sit
about
there,
your little monkey.
If he's not going to sit there and talk about stuff, there's no point in having him because he's soundbite gold, man.
What are you doing, monkey?
God, I miss Jonathan.
I missed that show.
I got to go do a shampoo.
Please bring it back. Damn it. Oh, I need that show back so bad. Now, guys, we have another voicemail. This one from a listener we've never heard from, Clayton. Let's check it out.
Clayton Forrester?
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry, guys. This is Clayton in Atlanta. I'm a huge fan of the show. It's awesome. I'm already dreading the fact that there are only 3 episodes left before it's all over. So I'm already depressed. One of the things that I wanted to tell you guys is that I've always enjoyed the program. You've really raised the bar high, and I haven't found another podcast out there that's been as entertaining and as in-depth as yours. I think probably the one thing I'm going to hate the most is your lost commentaries, not having access to that, especially with your program going off the air before the series is finished. So if there's anything you could do, I would really appreciate it if you gave us a bonus episode to wrap up Lost. Anyway, thanks again for everything, guys. You've been great.
Well, thanks, Clayton. I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do about the Lost thing. I told that to Bill, too. Like, it's going to be a bummer because the show Lost will still have some more episodes. But
we'll do a special encompassing episode of all the other ones.
Right. You know, I was telling you, Bill, earlier. You're right here right now, so I can tell you.
Yes.
Bill,
hi.
You and I were talking about I will read certain people's Lost feedback, like Maureen Ryan or Jeff Jensen, etc. And they'll link, Maureen Ryan does. She links to her favorite people, like with Time Magazine or whatever, who talked about the episode. So I'll read that. Then after a while, I'm like, who said what? I don't know. It's just all one big mass of ideas. You know, mm-hmm. I don't remember who wrote it. But it's all interesting. You kind of just soak that up. Whatever you find interesting sinks in. Whatever doesn't kind of casts off.
Yeah, you take what you want.
Right. But that's cool. What I'm trying to get to is that somebody wants to listen to what we have to say about it. That's really cool. And I appreciate that, Clayton. We'll try to reward you for your Lost enthusiasm there. We'll try to do something there. But thank you so much for listening. Right, Steven?
Yes, thank you.
All right. All right. Let's check out another voicemail. This one from Adam. Who is this guy? Mysterious Adam.
What's up, NIM Podcast guys? This is Adam from the Bay Area. I have not made a call in lately, and so I cut my wife off in mid-story because she's driving somewhere, and California law won't allow me to drive and call, so I had her drive, cut her off, had to call and say the shows have been awesome, and thanks for having me and Ross on the other night. It was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to the next show. Happy Easter. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Awesome. I think we got this voicemail last week on a Saturday after the show. Same with Sean. Sean's was like sent last week. But hey, it's okay. We can still use him now. But I appreciate that, Adam. I think Adam was on the show with us, and that was really cool. And then he's like, I kind of lost interest, you know?
I've done the show. Yeah,
once he got a peek behind the curtain.
No, but he's like, wow, it's not really that great. But no, but seriously, Adam sent a really nice voicemail. I mean, really nice email this week. And it was really cool. And I really appreciate it. And Bill, I sent it to you too.
Yeah.
I didn't forward it to you, Steven. Lots of mean things were said about you, so I didn't want you to see
put
that.
Put the gun to my forehead.
No, I'm kidding. I just didn't get a chance to. But no, basically Adam was saying how much the show meant to him, and he thinks of us as friends, and I told him I think of him as a friend, and I'd like to have him on the show again. And it's been really helpful how Adam has told me, you know, he'll just shoot me an email saying, hey, just listen to episode 145. And it's really funny when this happens, and he tells me what it is. And it's honestly, that's exactly the kind of feedback I always wanted mm-hmm. when that show came out. I love when people tell me something specific, and that's great because I don't know. It's not ego or anything like that. It just makes me feel good, you know?
Well, that they, that specific thing entertained them.
It's like, you know, what people want to know what works and what doesn't work. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Steven?
Yes.
Are you going to have to just start playing the yeah?
Exactly. No, but thanks. I want to thank everybody. And most of all, our last voicemail, Rick. Come on. How can we not thank Rick? Let's check it out.
Oh, do you remember when I played that shit at the start of my voicemails? Yeah, that was some crappy shit, man. Oh, my God. What was
crappy
I thinking?
Shit.
It was funky. You got to give it that. I didn't hold back on the funk. There was like a lot of funk in there. Yeah, I think next week I will definitely watch Dinosaur Valley Girls. Dinosaur Valley Girls. Because I watched the trailer and wow, that looks so good. It's like booby straight up. Hello, look at me. Let's go. I don't know. It was made in 1999 and do you know this is the same year The Matrix was made? So you just look at The Matrix and go, wow. It's like my home movies, you know? I'm just saying, it's interesting that the two movies, one is horrendously bad, and one is awesomely awesome. Yeah, you know? It just boggles my mind. I think as time goes on, movies should only get better. And if movies are crap, they should not be made. This one is, it still looks pretty sweet. The stop-motion dinosaurs. I'll talk about it more when I watch it, and I will do one of those ones where I watch it and do a voicemail along with it at the same time, because those are really awesome. But I just want to get a voicemail in because last week I stuffed up and I didn't send one, so I was very upset with myself. I was sitting around the campfire trying to remember the goddamn phone number to call up. But I was really wasted, so I couldn't remember. So I pulled, you know, and then what was even worse was that you put a post on Facebook saying, "What, no voicemail?" I was like, "But you don't know. I tried. I really tried. You don't be like that." And the show's just sweet and stuff. So
we were just concerned.
You guys
for
are
you.
Awesome. Anyway, if you make 200 the last show, you know what? If you've had enough, you know, I understand. That's 200 shows. That's not 20. That's not 25. I was going to go, that's not 200. Yeah, but it is 200. That's not a small amount. 200 is 200 shows. That is friggin' amazing. And you know what would be even more amazing? 300 shows. Come on. That would be pretty sweet. But, you know, you're going to watch these shows even if you stop doing the show, right? Or most of them anyway.
Yeah.
So why not keep doing the show? Maybe if you like to... Maybe if you're sick of all the preparation that you do, why not just record the conversations that you have with Bill and Steven? And then just put that as a podcast. Because that show you did where you did no preparation, that was an awesome show. And if you're sick of the preparation side of it, if you've had enough of that.
When do we do preparation?
Just release, the Christmas you know, show. You talking to Bill, you talking to Steve. Just put that
Avatar
out. You know, because you're going to talk about the same stuff anyway, aren't you? You're still going to talk to each other after the show? Or are you going to be like, no, I've had enough of these guys. Friggin' hell. Never talking to these guys again.
Finally, he's
I don't know. Anyway, I hope you do. But I'm just saying, that's what you can do, and that's what you should do. This was Rick. Rick from Australia. So, if you guys are not going to keep going, then what am I going to do? Answer me that question. Huh?
Get an Xbox 360 I'm waiting. And play with You're, us online.
I'm not finished my voicemail.
He's waiting for his stance.
Okay. I apologize again for the no voicemail. I really messed up. I apologize. My streak ended and I didn't want it to, but it wasn't my fault entirely. Okay, it was my fault, but whatevs.
Whatevs.
Valley Girls. Looks sweet. The clip and it's, you just watch the trailer. It's like a 5-minute trailer.
5 minutes?
You're sold.
That's a long trailer, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steven, that's a long trailer. Now, what I want to ask you guys about this. Like, I know how I feel about episode 200 and beyond or whatever's after. Steven, do you want to go on or do you want to stop after 200?
I'm here. Wherever you want to do.
What about you, Bill?
I'm not going anywhere.
So, I don't know. I kind of liked what he said about why not 300. Like, I was like...
All right, 300's the cutoff. Are we changing it to 300?
Well, I was thinking that... What's nice is that 200 was a nice round number. Like, we'll stop at 200, you know, but things are going really well right now. We have a lot of listeners talking to us more than we did at 100. I can tell you that much.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have a Rick at 100? No.
No.
Do we have an Adam?
We might have. We don't know if he was listening at 100.
We had
he
the mystery
start.
Man at 100, but if I'm forgetting someone, I'm trying not to. I'm going to feel apologize right now. We had the Rondu. He's since said goodbye to us, but he doesn't listen anymore. But I'm saying that maybe that's I like that number of 300, so we're going to talk about it. Okay. Jeez, take that down a little, Foggy. It's a little loud there. Wow. All right, guys, that's our voicemail. Let's check out entertainment. All right, guys. Date night, huh? No. Hey, guys. I saw Clash of the Titans over the weekend, and it. You know, I kept trying to think of how I would describe it. As you guys know, I don't like to give things ratings. You know, whether I just talk about whether I'd like to own it on Blu-ray or something like that. And I think I would Netflix it and watch it again just to hear it loud or whatever. On my system, but I don't think I'd own it. And what's funny is what I thought about it. It was a little uneven. And Bill, you sent me that link today from Chud, right?
Yeah.
And it was about originally the film was, and it was all recut, and they changed a lot of the story, and it would have been a lot better film had they not messed with it, basically.
It would have been. It certainly would have been more interesting, from what I gather from the article.
Basically, I'll tell you what Clash of the Titans is. It's just a visual thing. You're watching it and you're entertained, fighting giant scorpions, Medusa, the Kraken. It's all visual eye candy, but there's not a lot of depth to it. You know, the one thing that I could say about the original Clash of the Titans is the Harryhausen stuff was awesome. You know, you dig that as a kid, you grow up and you still love it. You love watching that. When you watch the remake, it's like cool effects, but it's not something that has that kind of stay power. You know what I mean?
Like, or the accomplishment
right.
from what Harryhausen did, you appreciate that as you get older. As a kid, it's just cool.
Right. I mean, it's got, you know, I think Sam Worthington is fine. I know some people diss his acting or whatever, and it's not really challenging material, honestly, what he's doing. He shows up and holds the sword. What else is he going to do? I have nothing against that. I just think it's I got the Clash of Titans I expected to be. I wasn't surprised or anything. And I saw it in 2D, by the way. I didn't see it in muddy 3D. So
I really do want to go to the theater to see it, but there's no way in hell I'm going to see that retroscope 3D shit they did.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. It's not fantastic. It's entertaining, whatever. You know, I don't know what else to say about it. I do like the director.
It's watchable.
Yeah, it's definitely watchable. I mean, the Medusa stuff, I got to honestly say, I'm telling you this truthfully, that I had flashbacks to CGI Rock in the
ooh, no.
The Mummy 2, remember? CGI, remember? Because it's CGI...
Medusa.
And it's kind of a cool scene, you know? She's got snake hair and everything, but I don't know. It's nothing special. I'll just say that much.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was a kid and I watched Clash of the Titans at my friend Josh's house... on VHS, that Medusa scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, she's scary. She's got a mean face. And you know what? There's a Bubo gag in the movie, and that was pretty funny. I was entertained by that. Because you got to have the Bubo in there. Because honestly, Bubo, I'm not in the Bubo camp. Are you, Steven? Yeah.
Because the Boobo, I didn't know there was a camp.
The
for Boobo
faction, because sure. Really, Boobo
you get sent off on summer camp. Camp Boobo.
When you watch Clash of the Titans, the original one, you're like, we need an R2-D2 in the movie. Yeah, what do we? How do we get an R2-D2? I know a mechanical owl, and no one can understand what the hell he's saying. But no, they can understand what he's saying because he's like, yeah, Boobo, that sounds good. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about?
The only thing it was missing was a gay robot.
No, I think he needed Boobo was both.
Yeah. Oh, you're right, because he was a golden owl.
He was a gay owl.
He was a gay golden.
He was like me. He was fabulous.
But seriously, if you're a gay owl robot, you're kind of screwed because there aren't any more. No, so you're just attracted
you're
to yourself.
One of a kind. He has to look at himself in the mirror to get off. I'm so attracted.
He might be attracted to a hawk or something.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. You never know. Now, Bill, please tell me about another movie that's coming out soon. Good Lord. Anything.
Oh,
just stop talking about gay Boobo.
Well, let's see here. Opening this weekend, we have, of course, Date Night, which I was shocked that Roger Ebert gave it 3.5 stars.
Whoa.
You know what? I mean, what's cool about that, though, Bill, is that Mark Wahlberg's in it, right?
And he is in it.
A lot of people diss Mark Wahlberg for his acting, but I go back to the movie Fear and just listen to this line delivery and tell me this isn't a good actor.
So let me in the freaking house!
Come on, that is acting right there!
You know what? He was scary in that movie. And I think it's because he was just so... He's so vacant.
Yeah, he's like, dude, have you been drugged or something?
He plays vacant very well.
No, remember that scene, Steven? He's through the peephole and he's saying, let me in the freaking house.
Yeah.
So let me in the freaking house.
Just picture that. It's the middle of the night, banging on your doors, Mark Wahlberg through the peephole. What would you do, Steven?
I'd let him in the freaking house.
Yeah. It's, all right, dude. What are you? Hey, it's Mark Wahlberg. You want it in the house.
You're William Peterson looking through the peephole.
All you got to do is throw his body slam, suplex his ass out a window, fly off the cliff.
You
got to
remember, I'm prepped. I've got my gun.
Bam, 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 okay, so bam.
If you're exactly, William Rick. Peterson and you see Mark Wahlberg through the peephole, who's worse, Mark Wahlberg or Francis Dolarhyde? Who would you rather face?
What?
Manhunter. Tom Noonan in that, Francis Dolarhyde.
Oh, that is his
that
name.
That's my Steven movement.
Oh, there we go. Wow.
I've watched that movie so many times.
Hey, I know that William R. Peterson is Will Graham, but that's where it stops.
Yeah, and Brian Cox is Hannibal Lecter, not the professor.
He's the original Hannibal Lecter, right?
Yeah.
The original Hannibal from the A-Team. That's right.
Yeah, I'm not a Michael Mann apologist like some people, but I love Manhunter.
It's a fantastic film.
I like the director's cut, though, that looks like shit. Or the extended cut. I don't know if it's
yep,
director's cut.
This is my favorite part of Manhunter. Heartbeat, heartbeat. Looking for a heartbeat. Wow. It's like, wow, man.
What about Anaconda DeVita, that entire title scene?
That whole gunfight with the crazy editing to that song. I know, it's awesome. Anaconda DeVita, baby. It's like, hey, I'm going to put this song in the movie because it's like 30 minutes long. The song never ends.
My dad has that album where the flip side of the album is nothing but Anaconda DeVita.
I wanted, at the end of the movie, you know, the bad guy, the shootout's over, and for somebody to go, turn that shit off! And you just hear a record scratch.
That really was a horrible song when you get down to it.
That is an awesome movie, though. I really dig that. I always... you know, when I, after, it was at a time when Manhunter, we'd already seen it on VHS or whatever, and when you realize that Hannibal is in Silence of the Lambs, because, you know, mm-hmm. I hadn't read the books or anything, I just knew him for the movies, I was waiting for the Will Graham, Clarice Starling, like, team up in a third movie, but That never happened. We all know what happened with the Hannibal movie. Wow. That kind of franchise kind of went in the shitter, didn't it?
Or even Hannibal, Red Dragon.
Wow. That, if there's any reason for that dude, I don't even want to say the Rat Man's real name, but the reason he should be shanked is making the Red Dragon. Come on.
Brett Ratner should just be shanked for existing. The fact that he emerged from his mother's vagina, they should have just killed him right then and there. Somebody should have came back in time and then just said, oh, this man is going to make some horrible films. Let's just take him out now before it's too late.
I'm sure he's a cute baby. Oh, do you think he had that that hair and everything? That weird
he came out with that. With that balding fro in the 5 o'clock shadow.
Okay, the middle of the night, Steven. Brett Ratner's on your front porch.
So let me the freaking out!
Do you let him in? That's no. No. You don't let him in, right? All you
shotgun blast through the door.
Yeah, you just butt the shotgun up to the door and go, I'll be right there. And just, oh, man, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
You go, oh, well, I need to get a new door anyways.
And then you blow the barrel.
I wait for him to put his eye back.
What is that? Is that a blow dart?
It's they're blowing the barrel of the gun. They're cooling it off. You know, like, oh.
Okay. You're blowing the smoke out of the barrel.
I thought you were in the Sahara.
It's like a blow dart. Steven, look out. Dart right in the neck. No, that's from Slowpoke Rodriguez. He blows the smoke out of his gun after he blows the cat away. I love that.
Whenever you mentioned that today, I started watching those, just cracking up at how blatantly racist those cartoons were.
Just listen to this line. Good Lord.
You will be good with the chili peppers.
Wow.
Now he follows me.
It's just a tad. Wow.
Oh, that's it. That's the only word.
That's all you can say. All right, guys, let's check out What's on our TiVos.
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
That's right, Slowpoke Rodriguez.
He pack a gun.
Did you? He carries a gun because he's so slow. He can't get away, so he just blows your ass away. That's awesome. Hello? Is this Rick?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
What the hell? Is he an android now?
Rick, are you there?
Is it bad?
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. You're back to normal now.
It buffered out.
Oh, okay.
It was all wacky for a second. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, Rick, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Not much. I just was listening live, and I thought I'd call in because I have to leave soon.
Oh, you have to leave soon? Where are you going?
No, my mom's just up for the weekend, so we're going to take her out and show her the sights.
Oh, cool.
Give her a big hug for us.
Yeah, nice little warm mulberry hug. Just say, hey, mom, this is from the Mulberry Boys, and give her a big hug.
This is from three weirdos in America.
Yeah, I'll do that. She loves hugs, so she'll appreciate that.
Nice. Rick, do you really want us to go to 300?
Yeah, for sure. Because I've just been re-listening to old episodes again. So if you stop, I'll just have to start from the start again. And after about four or five times through, I might get
you'll be repeating them in your sleep.
I'm leaning on – originally, you know, I wanted to stop at 200 just because it has nothing to do with doing too much work or too much editing or anything like that. Sometimes that's a pain in the ass, but I don't mind the workload of doing clips. I enjoy doing clips or Bill, you do clips too. I mean,
rarely when you need them, I can do them
on Fridays. You know, I'm working all day on the stuff and I don't mind. It's a nice build up. And in fact, sometimes I feel like, oh, God, am I going to finish in time? But it gives me this manic energy in time for the show. If I do them too soon, then I don't have that manic energy.
I just need to get an Xbox so now I can keep up with you guys.
Right. Yes. So we can kill the enemy together, right?
Yeah, I'm selling my unit, so I might have a bit of money left over, and then I can get one.
Wait,
without
you're becoming a male
guilty.
Prostitute?
You're selling your unit.
Oh, my apartment.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. You Americans, you call them apartments.
So let me the freaking house!
Oh, my God. Mark Wahlberg's trying to get in your house.
He wants in your unit.
I
You're not coming anywhere near my
day.
Unit.
He wants in your unit, Rick. But, Rick, you have quite a musical talent that you showed us on that voicemail. I think it's really cool.
Bam, 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 yeah, bam.
That's awesome.
That cracked me up. I planned on, I was at work and I was thinking, what would be a funny intro? And I was like, oh yeah, I was listening to an old episode where I had that at the start. And I was like, I'll do like an a cappella version.
That's
awesome. Good. Well, I promise to play that through the entire show.
Thanks. It sounds pretty good, actually. I'm happy with that.
It's good. Certainly not tone deaf.
Yeah, not at all. Listen,
thanks, Bill. That's nice. Bam, bam.
That was quite a nice compliment there. Now, hey, Rick, I don't know if you were listening when Steven did his World According to Garp reference, but did you get that? Did anyone?
Well, like you got Bill's reference earlier.
Tell him the reference again, though, Steven.
Ellen James Ian. Do you know who that is? Do you know?
No.
Okay. Did you ever see the movie A World According to Garp?
No.
There
Don't
you go.
Bother.
Okay, now, Bill, tell him your reference from the other movie.
No!
What was the reference? It was from Manhunter.
Yeah, it's, Francis Dolarhyde is Tom Noonan in Manhunter. He's, you know, the first Buffalo Bill, if you will.
Wait, you weren't supposed to tell him. I was just supposed to. You're supposed to tell us if he knew who it was.
I don't know how to play this game.
All right,
yeah,
I'm
you guys, you've seen so many movies that I haven't seen, so I'd probably be pretty bad at this.
All right,
game.
The World According to Garp and Manhunter. Check those out, Rick.
I cannot wait for you to watch Dinosaur Valley Girls because I actually got it. So I picked it. Was actually I was going through Best Buy and they had it for $5.
Awesome.
I was like, damn, I'm getting this.
I found the trailer online, and then after about half an hour of searching, I found the whole movie online, so I'm going to watch that. And man, like the trailer, 5 minutes, and they just show you all the best bits, but I'll have to watch the full thing because it just looks horrendous, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Awesome.
What cracks me up is
I'll have to check out the trailer.
The one I bought, it says Dinosaur Valley Girls Special Collector's Mammoth Edition.
Awesome.
All right, I'll paint a picture for you. This like part just sold me on it. There's the bikini clad, prehistoric babe, and the T-Rex. Oh no, the Allosaurus pulls down her top, and then he checks her out, and his eye is like, woo. So the dinosaur checked out the girls. I was like, oh, I'm watching this movie. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome.
That dinosaur's pansexual.
All right, Rick, I guess we ought to do Tool Academy now.
All right, I got to go. So thanks, and I'll talk to you guys next week, possibly.
All right, check you later.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
See you, Rick.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Rick, everybody. Bill, you're still there? Didn't lose you?
I'm here.
All right. Now let's talk about Tool Academy. It's Angelo and Jacob, right?
Yes.
And it's down to both of them. Now, Trina wants to show them pictures of when they were young and what they are now and how it affects them. And she starts with Angelo. And you know Angelo, he's the guy with the chin strap. Right,
he's always on his invisible motorcycle.
The invisible helmet, yes, and he cries anyway. So as soon as they show a picture of him, he's bawling. Let's check it out.
In today's therapy, we will explore your tool evolution.
Today is all about what was it? Tool vibration. Wait, what was it called?
Okay, so I'd like to start with Angelo. So what's sad? What do you, when you look at that little boy? What are you thinking about?
Medicine.
So were you the apple of their eye? I mean, you were the first son.
Yeah, my mom really wanted a son. She lost the first one, and then I came out.
So it was a pretty proud event when you arrived.
Yeah.
And a big deal for your mom.
Huge, huge. I had friends at school. I just couldn't hang out with anybody.
Sounds like he's laughing.
Were afraid that if I went there, then I would have to invite them over our house. And we couldn't really let them know our living situation.
Why was that?
Because my parents couldn't afford it.
Oh.
Couldn't make ends meet.
The first time Angelo cried, I was just like, oh my God, you know, it's breaking my heart to see like this macho guy kind of cry. But now I'm thinking you are full of
Okay, so let's move on to your most recent photo.
Oh my God. Really?
That's quite an incredible shock, isn't it, from the last one to this one?
Very shocking.
What do you feel when you look at that picture? Because you're both quite taken aback by that picture.
Looks like an idiot.
Do you want to talk to that guy? Tell him what you think of him now?
Go f*** yourself.
Get up and stand. I can feel you're pretty angry about it.
Look at you. Piece of I don't like.
No, get your anger out at him because he's gone, hasn't he? You tell him where you want him to go. Yeah.
Go away, don't ever come back. Yeah. Go!
Angelo, get tell him to bugger off. Tell him to
bugger
go
off.
Away, tell him that. Scream at him.
Go away! Go away!
He's yelling at a picture of himself. Get out of here! Get out of my life!
Like that.
Now, what's even better is Jacob. He's the big caveman dude who wants to be a wrestler. He's got the big... He's all hairy. Let's see him. He instantly starts crying, too. All she does is show a picture of his as a baby. It's like, now, what's going on in this picture? I'm a baby. He's like, and he makes this weird, like, popping sound when he's crying. He's like, like, as he's crying. It's weird.
He reverts back to infant.
But what's crazy, Bill, is he goes nuts and he kicks her Daewoo flat screen. It's pretty upsetting. Let's check this out.
Okay, so let's go to Jacob and Christy. So how old are you there?
Like a baby.
That's not telling me how old you are.
Hey, why are you sad? Why is there so much emotion with that photo?
So weird. You get the hiccups and crying at the same time or something.
It's odd.
It's all right.
My dad left.
Are you're saying your dad left you when you were a baby?
Yeah.
Was daddy around?
I like how
around?
Trina deciphers it for us.
He was around for about a year.
So how long has it been since you've seen or heard from your father?
I've never seen him.
You've never seen your father?
Since I was about that age, you know, I've never seen him.
Is this something that you've cried about and thought about before you came to the academy? Or is this hitting you hard now?
It's hit me hard now.
So do you think you hold a lot of anger towards him?
Yeah, I'm very angry.
Okay, well, let's use this moment then to go to the next picture.
That person, I don't no longer know who that is.
So do you feel angry when you look at him? Because he is the monster inside of you, isn't he? That is the guy.
I hate him.
Go away!
Oh my goodness.
That is not me!
Holy shit!
You owe us a
Does that feel better?
TV.
That's how badly you wanted to get rid of him.
Jacob is saying that he doesn't want to be that guy on that TV. So what is he doing? He kicks the TV. That's not changing.
Is he gone, Jacob?
That's a perfectly good
gone.
TV!
So hopefully you've
he sounds like Larry Fine right
today.
There, didn't he? I love it.
Hey, Mo.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Now, I had to do one more clip here because they do this trust exercise where they hang on ropes and they have to climb across using teamwork, holding each other's hands. And Angelo says he's afraid of heights, and he makes the girliest sounds on this thing. It's hilarious. He sounds like a friggin' girl, and his girlfriend's like, you're going to be okay. You know, like... Come on, dude. Let's just check this out. It's the best of Angelo clip.
Welcome to the ropes course. You'll have to believe in your commitment to one another, rely on each other, and work as a unit.
Good announcing.
Your goal is to work together to get from one platform to the other. The ropes are too far apart for you to reach by yourself, so you're going to need each other to move across.
I can't do this. Are you kidding me? Like, really? Come on, dude.
Oh, no, I'm slipping.
No!
No!
Oh, my God.
That's him.
This is harder than it looks. Yeah!
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God. Angelo is freaking out. He's screaming on the top of his lungs.
Don't you drop her, babe!
I was laughing so hard.
Oh, my God, I'm so scared.
It's okay. You're gonna live.
Angelo is absolutely terrified, but Dana is doing a good job of calming him down. It's an accomplishment that he's even trying to complete the exercise.
The funny thing is they have harnesses on where they
won't
fall.
How far are they off
fall.
The ground?
Not that high, but they won't fall. There's a crane holding them up.
I mean, are they 20 feet or less?
Yeah, something like that.
Less.
It's like as tall as a house or something, one floor of a house.
That wasn't Tool Academy. That was the opening to Cliffhanger, right?
Yes. He's trying to save his girlfriend. Your girlfriend will die if you don't save her. I love that. God. I love that. Angela. What are we going to do without that dude?
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
That is a manly man.
Yes, it is.
Go away!
Oh, my
go
God.
Go away!
Yeah, go away, Angelo. And by the way, Jacob won Tool Academy.
That was ass backwards.
The only thing I could think Angelo didn't win is because he was full of shit the whole time and Trina could tell. Yeah. He was just doing what he needed to do because you win $100,000.
Because the other one kicked the TV is why.
Yeah, Jacob kicked the TV and he won. So
yeah.
She's like, it's a worthless television. I go to the Walmart. It doesn't matter.
It's a sensui.
Wow, I love that.
Oh my God, I'm so scared.
I know, me too.
That was his girlfriend, right?
No, that was it. All right, I want to take a break, but let's just rapidly work in this Celebrity Apprentice. Get these shows out of the way, okay? Did you guys happen to watch Celebrity Apprentice this week? Because it was all about Harry Potter. And they were doing a display for Harry Potter in what's
the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
In Florida. And the best part about...
That's that, that new... thing right. Universal.
Yeah, new attraction. And what's funny is Rod Blagojevich was the task manager, Bill, and he doesn't know how to work a laptop. He doesn't know how to text message. He doesn't know how to email. So they sent him there to talk to the people and then
convey everything back, the
information. Salida, the Victoria's Secret model, she was taking pictures of diagrams and emailing it to him on her BlackBerry and stuff, and they had all this information. The guys were like, hey, Rod, come on, man. He goes, well, I can't really email. I can't text message. So I'm just going to call you on the phone. Can't tell you anything right now because Sleet is right here. I'll call you later. And they're like, what? So the first thing he does is he goes, Brett, you're in charge of creative. I want you to come up with the concept. And he gives them all jobs where basically he does nothing. I thought that was hilarious. And he, when they're like, okay, how are we going to do the sales pitch? Because we have to tell the people. We have to tell the executives their all their points. You know, that's what they like to hear.
Talking points.
And he was like, I don't want to memorize anything. I just want to do it off the cuff. So just read it, kind of go over it, and we're just going to do it all improvised.
Yeah, I don't want to script it.
And they're like, oh, okay.
It'll sound fake if it's scripted or something.
And I love how he mentions he gets the information down. He says, like, Ravencloth. And he gets all the
Ravencloth.
Ravencloth. He says all the names wrong. But the girls, they seem to be doing better, except, of course, Cindy Lauper, she's going to be on the show, I think, till the end because she's entertaining. And what's funny is Salida, I don't understand this at all. When they do the presentation, she's like, I'm going to do an English accent. And Sharon Osbourne is standing right there.
Oh, no.
She's standing right there. But the Victoria's Secret model does the worst
English accent
ever.
Wow.
Let's just check this out. And let's listen to how hilarious Cindy Lauper is. She'd drive me insane.
Wizards and muggles alike, welcome to a world unlike no other. Please don't be afraid. For not everything seems to be what it is. In our presentation, I came up with this little horrible British accent that is so sad. Open the door to Ollivanders. But you may think you're in Zonko's joke shop. I don't care how awful my accent is or whatever. I mean, if I was on the runway and I felt like, you know, a boob was about to pop out, I wasn't going to stop, turn around, and run back. No. I'm going to tuck it and keep moving, you know?
Please,
don't forget to tell your parents to visit the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Wow.
Young wizard. Very careful as you enter the wizarding world of Harry Potter.
Be careful. That's a real English accent.
Don't look at me. Look at the screen. Look at the screen. Muggles and wizards. Muggles and wizards. Muggles and wizards. Muggles and Cindy was like totally in character. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Muggles and wizards. You'll need that. You'll need that. Off to Ollivander. Off to Ollivander. And I'm going like this. I'm like, for sake, Cindy, shut up. Come this way. Come this way. Welcome. Welcome to Ollivander's. As you know, your wand chooses you. So, you know, let's see which one would be yours. The kids were looking at me like, is this lady crazy?
Yes.
I'm really glad I didn't see that.
No, it's hilarious. And they actually did pretty well because the men were such F-ups, right? They had like this smoke-filled room. See, Bill, what it was supposed to be a three-dimensional display where you'd walk inside and see merchandise and see Harry Potter stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they had this cool thing where you get a wand, and if it's the right one, like this...
bright light lights up around you.
Yeah, and it blows like air on you, and you're like, whoa, it selected me. So it was pretty cool. The men had...
But they completely screwed it up.
No, that's the women I'm talking about. The men...
They put the hat on you to tell you what school...
Right, and you would just hear Goldberg say, like, Gryffindor. And he was in a...
this styrofoam tree outfit. Yeah. It's not even styrofoam,
it
was...
You know the living tree outside Hogwarts? That's what he was in. He was inside of it, and you could see his face, and he was like, Gryffindor! And Blagojevich was pumping so much smoke in there, he was like, I can't breathe. So the kids would walk in and wouldn't be able to see shit in there.
Well, Brett was like, all right, no more smoke. No more smoke. Yeah. And Rob's like, hey, we need more smoke. And he would pump that thing, and it would just fill this place.
So
I thought the sorting hat was the thing that told him what.
Yeah, that's what it is. They put the hat on them, but you can see who's saying the voice for the hat right there.
Oh, I thought you were saying that the tree was...
Oh, by the way, this is kids, by the way. They have kids going through there, and they're like, what did you think? And the kid's like, I thought it was pretty lame. I could see the guy telling me what thing I belong to.
I can see the tree telling me. Yeah. I can see his face in there.
And it's funny. Who's that? What's that chef guy's name? Mark something?
Curtis Stone.
Okay, that's right. He's like, yeah, we have a lot of rides and stuff. And he goes, what rides? The executive. And he's like, let me get my boss. And Rod Blagojevich, he goes, there's the dragon something. And the guy's like, oh, okay. And he's like, oh, he just doesn't know. And it's hilarious.
Space Mountain.
Let's just check this out.
So we brought one of the little boys through and sat him on his chair. And we asked him, which school is he going to have to attend?
Magic hat, which is it?
Gryffindor.
Whoa, Gryffindor, congratulations.
It was really cute to see these little fans who are obviously such fanatics of Harry Potter.
Gryffindor! Yay!
Yeah, exciting. But
even this little experience that we created for them, they were stoked.
Now, this has magical powers. Let's see what you can do.
Once the kids came in and I looked at that thing, I'm like, it was crazy.
Oh, tree.
I've got a tree that moves. It's Goldberg. I mean, no kid wants to see that stuck inside a dark castle. And Michael, who's some sort of monk of evil darkness.
I'm going to let you use my wand just once, okay?
Right, I thought it couldn't get any creepier.
Now, do you think you can take control of the wand?
I'm like, oh, God, all of us are going to prison after this creepy castle ride.
He's talking about his wand.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you too.
The wizarding world of Harry Potter has all kinds of amazing things. You can take rides, you can eat.
What kind of rides?
You can ride. The headmaster knows all about the rides. Governor, I need the governor, please.
Governor's not the governor. The governor's the headmaster.
Such a disaster.
Himself with this universal executive, and the executive's asking him about the dragon roller coaster.
Our one of our best attractions, which happens to be the dragon, the dragon ride that makes it simulate a roller coaster.
You know, I can visualize that dragon roller coaster, but I can't quite remember what the name was.
The good news about that dragon ride is it doesn't breathe any fire. In any event.
He sat there. I don't know what he thought about the fact that we maybe could have been a little bit more prepared on the dragon roller coaster.
So they lost. Can you tell, Bill? Wow.
It sounds like they really had everything together.
And it's funny. Rod tried to throw Curtis and Michael, the Olympic runner, under the bus. He's like, well, they didn't really do an I asked. And they're like, no, dude, you sucked as a project manager. And they're like, hey, no, Trump. He didn't do. And I thought the boardroom is painful because the way he talks in circles and doesn't ever get to a point. And they just all sit there.
He spins.
Oh, yeah. He's a huge, I mean, obviously a politician.
He's trying to spin everything. And I was just like, just fire him already. And he did. But my favorite part, I didn't make a clip of this. I'll just say it real quick. Is Holly Robinson Pete and Summer Sanders were kind of, they kind of don't respect Cindy at all because she talks a lot. You know, she just talks a lot. She's entertaining. She's quirky.
She's not real bright. Yeah, number one.
She's a quirky. She's good at what she does, and she's a quirky personality. And Sharon Osbourne puts them in their place because she's like, look, Cindy, she's entertaining to the audience. You guys are like watching ice melt. And they're like, boom. And Holly Robinson's like, I was insulted by that. It's like, remember that?
Yeah. Because
she's like, you're not entertaining to the audience. You're just there, you know.
And Holly was like, "I'm not here to be entertaining. I'm here for my charity."
Yeah, it's like, nah, you're bad television, honey.
Yeah. Do you think people are tuning in to watch you?
Yeah, that's what I love. She totally put them in their place, and you knew that they knew it. They're like, she's right. That was great.
It's like, and you know what? And even if Cindy Lauper isn't like, I'm not saying you know she's not smart, but. You know, she wants to know what's going on. She asks a lot of questions.
She's like, just like Brett. Whenever they meet with executives, he goes, no, let me ask you here. And you're just like, oh, please shut up.
But then she kind of spins it towards herself, though.
She's self-deprecating, and she tries to bring humor to the situation.
Well, I think she'll be like, she'll try to relate it to something in her life,
right?
Too,
and they don't have time. We don't have time.
Yeah, we don't have time to hear your story about when you were singing.
That's probably how she learns.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
they just don't want to have any time for it. But I love Sharon's just like, hey, she's entertaining right now to the audience. She may be a train wreck, but people aren't watching the show for you. All right, jackasses. All right, let's take a break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Right, and I thought it couldn't get any creepier.
New Fruit Corners Fruit Roll-Ups. Real fruit and fun rolled up in one.
You can get them, you can stretch them. Fruit Corners. They're so good you'll want to fetch them. Fruit Corners. You can care them, you can share them. They taste great anywhere.
New Fruit Corners Fruit Roll-Ups are the chewy snacks made with real fruit that you unroll, peel, and chew.
You can drink them, you can speed them. Fruit Corners. You can swap them, you can eat them. Fruit Corners.
New Fruit Corners Fruit Roll-Ups. Real fruit and fun rolled up in one.
Just a kiss of golden honey on those little golden grams. A kiss of golden honey makes you smile and want to stay. Tastes like honey graham crackers, crispy, crunchy all the way. Oh yeah, it's gonna be a golden graham's day.
Tastes like crisp little honey graham crackers.
Made to stay crispy and crunchy in milk. Part of this good, nutritious breakfast.
Just a kiss of golden honey.
Listen, that'll keep me from going cuckoo for my favorite cereal. Delicious, munchy, crunchy, chocolatey Cocoa Puffs. It's part of this good, nutritious breakfast. Please don't fail me now.
Oh, Sonny.
Oh, no.
Care to dance to our song?
Oh.
Hit it, boy.
Oops.
Pop, pop, Cocoa Puffs. Chocolate-tasting Cocoa Puffs.
Munchy, crunchy, chocolatey. Cocoa Puffs. Yahoo, I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Say, Super Sugar Crisp is going gold, and they're celebrating with a solid gold sweepstakes, with 100 first prize winners receiving Sony stereo systems, plus thousands of other prizes. And one extra lucky winner will receive a trip to Hollywood and a visit to the Solid Gold TV show. To play, just scratch the instant winner spot from one of these solid gold posters. Available in special gold boxes of Post Super Sugar Crisp cereal. Or for a free poster, write P.O. Box 1744, New York, New York, 10016.
God. There you are, you little rat.
Bette Midler and Mick Jagger. The divine Miss M's got herself a new man. And you got them both on video with solid gold hits. Summer's hottest half hour is getting down with America's best dancers dressed to thrill. And a look-alike contest with doubles who look very real. Plus, Rocky's theme from Survivor. And Mick Fleetwood's new Zoo Review on the next solid gold hits.
Today at 5 on Channel 2.
Now, E.T. brings you new E.T. cereal made with E.T.'s favorite flavors, chocolate and real peanut butter, shaped like E.T.'s and peas. New E.T. cereal, a glowing part of this good breakfast.
Goodbye.
It's The Odd Couple, weekdays at 4:30 on Channel 2.
There's only one, two.
Wow, a new cereal.
Feeling like cinnamon toast, feeling like cinnamon toast crunch. Feeling tasty,
feeling new.
Feeling crunchy,
feeling true.
Feeling like cinnamon toast crunch.
New cinnamon toast crunch cereal, sprinkled with cinnamon and sugar for the delicious taste of homemade cinnamon toast. Part of this nutritious breakfast.
Feeling toasty,
feeling sunny.
Feeling serious,
feeling funny.
Feeling like cinnamon toast, feeling like cinnamon toast crunch.
Words can't say how this year went.
Well, you know who.
Just call me.
Whole community blast. Thank you,
great year. It was a good year, great year, best year yet. Together we all got through.
Great year.
Racing for class, trying to pass like only we could do.
Great year.
A year full of moving, reaching so high. When the Ghana's quarter pound their Big Mac fries.
A good time, great days.
McDonald's.
See you next year.
We just want to eat tasty Teddy Grahams. Just a bunch of bite-sized bears.
Those Teddy Grahams.
New great-to-eat Graham snacks exploding with taste.
The Disco.
Tonight, a pleasant afternoon's ride turns into a terror-stricken journey to hell. Who will survive? Nightmare at Bitter Creek tonight.
It's cool, it's neat, a sparkling treat. You've never seen anything like this.
Hey, we sparkle. We're new sparkle dress for kids. We taste cool and we sparkle. Let me show you the way. Give us a try and we'll sparkle up your day. Now you love the special treat. It's for your first school. Sparkle special treat. It makes sparks and cool. But sparkle.
I love tortilla chips, but they can be a little jelly.
But now there's new Sincheros. Sincheros light and crispy because they're made by pequeños Kibleros.
The Keebler elves introduce Sincheros, authentic stone ground corn tortilla chips made extra thin, light and crispy. Original nacho salsa.
Sincheros light and crispy because
they're made by pequeños Kibleros.
The squeeze is on.
The fruit
just squeeze it.
Squeeze it.
Oh, 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 double stuff twister, double stuff cruncher. It's Oreo action for double stuff munchers.
Double stuff Oreo,
double stuff luncher.
I'm gonna let you use my wand.
Are you kidding me? Like, really?
Oh, woo! Oh boy, I'm so excited! Yeah!
Oh my god!
So basically, I never read any of the Harry Potter books, and I would kind of like to, because, you know, everyone says they're great, but am I a mudblood, Bill? I just go by the movies, basically.
Well, that would imply that one of your parents is pure wizard.
Well, that's true, actually. So.
Oh my god, I'm so scared.
I know, it's okay, Angelo. I'm gonna put a spell on you, Angelo, and erase that chin strap. No!
Harry Potter books are really hit and miss.
So it's like good and...
You know how Stephen King can describe a scene really well and set it up in your head using minimal description?
Yeah.
Well,
no!
J.K. Rowling kind of is overly descriptive to the point where it gets ponderous.
No!
All right,
like,
Angelo.
The entire book Order of the Phoenix is incredibly long and painful to read.
Go away! Go away!
All right, Bill, let's talk about 24, because all of a sudden they had 2 hours of excitement. It was a pretty good episode, wasn't it? Or it was two episodes, a two-hour-long episode.
Burning them off.
Extravaganza.
I didn't even realize it was two hours.
Yeah, it was a two-hour episode, and it was all about the president of that country, the fake country, guy from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in India, right? Slumdog Millionaire. It's a lot of information.
He's one of those Indian Persians.
Yeah, that's what it is. Whatever. Slumdog Millionaire guy. Yeah. With the pompadour, right? And he's been kidnapped.
He does have great hair.
Jack's, oh, well, first of all, it starts out where Jack, he's trying to save him in time. And they captured that special forces guy who was a traitor, working for that dude in the White House. And but when the Slumdog Millionaire guy finds out that they'll set off that nuclear bomb, dirty bomb, if they don't give him to the terrorists, he's like, I'm going to turn myself in and save everyone. And Jack's like, no, you can't do that. But he does it anyway, and he goes to the terrorists. Meanwhile, we have Starbuck in CTU, and she's the mole, and she's trying to get out of there at the same time helping them. And I just love that escape where they're like, it's like, apprehend her immediately, and she starts shooting people. That was hilarious.
Yeah, he puts the card in to scan her out.
And it says, apprehend immediately.
Security threat. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, maybe they should do it subtly where there's not like a blink, 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 so to give him away so he could have pulled his gun on her, you know? Instead, she was like, blam! But I thought that was pretty entertaining, and she wants to speak to Jack directly, Bill. But why? Why does she want to talk to Bauer? Let's check this out. This is hardcore shit.
He said I was the only one you wanted to talk to. Why?
Because you're the only one here who doesn't have his head up his ass.
Oh, well,
so let's
nice
not speech. Waste any time. You want President Hassan? I can get him for you. I know where they're taking him. I know what they're planning to do.
Oh, that's his name.
What do you want?
You know the drill. Full immunity, clean record. And I want to be compensated.
Compensated?
When you get these IRK agents, you're going to get your hands on their cash.
Compensation.
I want my share. I lost a lot of money when this deal went south.
You're telling me all this is about money?
Isn't it always?
If I'm going to take this to the president, I need proof that you know something worthwhile.
Well, in about a half an hour, you will have all the proof you need. Hassan's head.
touch.
Whoa.
Let me explain something to you.
Damn it, Jack.
The only reason you've got any leverage right now is because President Hassan is alive. So stop screwing with me!
They are going to force him to make a statement, and then they're going to kill him. Live over the internet. So I suggest we stop haggling and you start making this happen.
On the Shibu Inu cam.
Fine.
Live on AOL.
Okay, this is the president. But you better understand that if we don't recover President Hassan alive, you get nothing. Nothing.
Harsh.
It's why I asked for you, Mr. Bauer. It's part of the deal. You're going to handle this operation. His son is heavily protected. I need someone with your experience running the show. There's been enough screw-ups for one day. Don't you think?
Earlier you said you lost a lot of money because the deal went bad. Who was supposed to pay you?
Tick-tock, Mr. Bauer. Oh. You're running out of time.
She's hardcore.
You know who I think is behind it, Bill? Alan Wilson. Do you guys remember last season? He goes, his name is Alan Wilson. And it was like, what? That's his name?
What the hell are you talking about?
Tony Omi. I miss that guy. But yeah. You know what was funny? Starbuck did the equivalent of reroute the subsystems earlier in the episode. Because she's trying to tell the terrorists that they're watching them. So she's like, I got to go get something. And Chloe's like, where are you going? She's like, I got to reroute the servers to give us more bandwidth or something like that. And she's like, I think we have plenty. And she's like, okay. And she sits down and she's like, damn, it didn't work. And that guy Milo almost gets strangled. She does the thing where she's got the wire right over his head. She's about to. And somebody calls and she pulls it back real quick. That was hilarious. But the whole thing is they're trying to get Hassan back, and they break into the building. This whole scene's kind of reminiscent of maybe The Kingdom, Peter Berg's movie.
Yeah, that's
movie.
What I was thinking.
They get in there, and they're making Hassan. The guy's telling everyone on the internet, this is his crimes, what he's done. He's turned his back on his country, and this is why we're going to kill him, put him to death. And Jack, you know, they're shooting everybody. He gets in there, blows everyone away, but he turns, he looks at Hassan, and they think it's a live feed. It's not. He's dead. Didn't make it, Steven. It's pretty sad.
Sloppy throat cutting.
Oh, man, that was hardcore. And they lingered on the throat cut for way too long.
Yeah, they really did.
I was like, dude, okay, cut away.
I think I saw his larynx.
Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
But that was seen, you know, he's got his eyes open and everything, and Jack closes his eyes. And, you know, I guess, is the threat over? They have the dirty bomb. Those terrorists are dead. Jack killed them all. Unfortunately, they lost Hassan, but now the peace treaty is going to, that the whole peace treaty thing that was so important, I guess, is going to fall through.
Well, now it looks like they're going to the Russians.
Yeah, the Russians at one point call the president. Is that right? That's what
they're basically threatening her that if he's dead, they're pulling out.
Yeah, they're not going to. And then the part with I love where she busts her staff guys for turning on her and being traitors. I thought that was funny, but I thought it was a really entertaining episode. You know,
it was. I don't have a whole lot to complain about because I was surprisingly enthralled during the entire 2 hours.
Why couldn't it have been this shit the whole season?
That's what I, you know, the moment I watched it, I posted on Twitter and Facebook, like, why did we have to wait this long to get to this point?
If I had one criticism to Kiefer Sutherland, I would say, dude, maybe you should have be more in charge of the scripts. Maybe you could make it more exciting.
Little bitch.
Oh, sorry.
Don't criticize him.
You get nothing.
I guess we don't, because the show is canceled, right?
You'll get nothing and like it.
Stop screwing with me!
I love Jack Bauer. That's the thing, is I love the character. I love when he's just killing guys, and they gave us that. I've said it over and over again. Just have him unleash hell on bad guys and stop with the other stuff. You know, it's so funny that if you think back
all the
to
impossible stuff that can be done in an
Jimmy
hour's
James,
time.
The hillbilly boyfriend and all that, that wasn't necessary. By the way, Jimmy James is still in that vent. No one has found his body. No,
I guess you don't start to stink until after like a day or two.
Yeah, so it's still in that 24-hour period where he doesn't stink.
She can still sneak him out yet.
She's under custody. There's no way that unless she goes. By the way, if you're wondering what that smell is, it's Jimmy James over there. Just open up that vent.
WNYX is going under.
Maybe they're doing an interrogation in there, and it starts to get really stuffy, and they call in a guy to repair the vents.
Smelling kind of gamey in here.
True, small judo man.
My God, it's Jimmy James.
Is there a dead animal in this vent?
He's all bloated and zombie-fied.
Jesus, Starbuck, you smell like hell. It's not me. It's Jimmy James.
It's some FDS.
Oh. But hopefully, I just want 24 to finish out good since it's not coming back. So,
you know what's crazy is everyone keeps talking about how there's going to be a movie. Honestly, if they can't hold an audience for a television show, how are they going to get an audience for a film?
I don't know. I mean, and honestly, they used to have great ratings. It's just people by now are like, seen it. God, I don't have the patience for this. And they tune out. My wife used to always watch 24 with me. And this season, she was like, I'm not really into 24 anymore this season. I don't want to watch it. And so I was like, okay. I'm like, guess I'll watch it by myself. It's just like, people have lost interest in it. And if you're going to do a movie, you're just going to, hey, they have 2 hours to do something exciting.
Yeah, 2 hours to do something 24 hours in.
Right. Now, guys, Smallville is back. And let's talk about this episode of Smallville. Steven, tell me about Smallville. How old were you when
week.
You first saw? Oh, you missed Smallville?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Are you kidding?
At what age did Smallville touch you?
Whoa, it hit.
Whoa, Angelo. Come on.
Come on, dude.
All right, Bill.
I was very young when it touched me.
Yes.
Oh, when he touched the wand of Smallville. Now, this Smallville it has Clark and Lois. They're going to an out-of-the-way bed and breakfast. Unfortunately, Oliver and Chloe are also going to that bed and breakfast, and comedy ensues, Steven. But there's a possessed painting with a demon.
Painted with kryptonite.
There's no kryptonite, actually. The ghost comes out. It's like a female ghost who...
It's the Banshee.
Yeah, the Banshee. It's actual real comic book character, a DC comic book character. And she inhabits Chloe or Lois. And it's hilarious. But earlier on in the episode, when they Clark and Lois see Green Arrow, Oliver, and Chloe, they have breakfast together. And I thought this scene was actually pretty funny, Bill. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. Come here. Sit with us.
Loosely funny, guys. Don't hold me to that.
Quiet weekend at home, huh?
Trust me, we had no idea the two of you would be here. And we had no idea there was even a you two, which I think is perfect. I think fate has brought us together.
Well, it's a little less fate, actually.
More fame.
I like fame.
This inn is so far off the beaten path that even the society pages couldn't find Star City's most eligible bachelor here.
It's a lot of words,
you mean ex-bachelor. Okay, enough about that. How did you guys manage to find the road less traveled?
Well, I found the brochure for the inn of the apartment. I figured Lois wanted to come here.
That wasn't Lois's brochure, Clark. That was mine.
How was I supposed to know that Oliver...
You weren't.
I love the music
in the
show.
Point.
It's non-stop.
The wacky music.
Well, don't look at me. I learned a long time ago not to assume what belongs to who in that apartment. You gotta use context clues.
Yeah, speaking of clues, let's talk about Mr. Green in the bedroom with my cousin.
There it is. Lois, I think they came here for brunch.
Good point. Look, Chloe, there's food. Whoa!
Little jellies. So. You,
What?
Little jellies.
Orphans? Recently, old ladies, maybe, something like that.
I did stop a bank robbery.
Yeah, it's nice. It's fun stuff.
Thanks. How about you? Anything new?
No. Just, there's a new compound bomb trying out. Yeah, it seems pretty good.
Talking shop.
That works. I know it's not my place to say
anything.
Then
don't say anything.
But after everything Chloe's been through, I don't want to see her get hurt.
That's good.
It's good. You know, she's stronger than you think she is, though. So. You know, one of her strengths is giving people what they need and sacrificing what she wants. Well, how do you know this isn't what she wants? Just don't take her for granted.
This is good enough.
Good Lord.
But the best part of the episode is later on, Chloe is possessed and she goes to visit Clark in the shower. I don't have a clip of this, but
many times has Chloe been possessed at this point?
I don't know, but Clark was in the shower singing. Did you catch that, Bill, or did you?
I didn't.
He was like, doo doo doo, Lois, Lois, doo doo doo. And I was like, what the hell? And he goes, Chloe. And Chloe's sitting there just in a towel, and she's all frisky. Basically, she wants to suck the life force out of Clark. That's what the Banshee's going to do. And Oliver and Lois, they bust in on him. Comedy ensues. But later on, when she's not possessed anymore because she passed it on to Lois, she talks to Clark about, wait a second, how are you having relations with Lois? Remember back in the day when he was afraid to do that with Lana because of his super strength and problems? And it's kind of an awkward scene. Let's check it out. He explains everything, Steven, in graphic detail. Just in case you wanted to know.
The truck is still there. At least Lois didn't drive home.
Oliver's not in our room. We're definitely being roasted, not toasted, over a bottle of McDougal's Finest tonight.
Oh, and what possessed you to come into the bathroom like that?
I don't remember. I just completely blanked out.
You don't remember seeing...
No, God, I definitely don't remember seeing that. Wait a minute. Did you see... Oh, God. This is our last couple's vacation together.
If I don't find Lois, this will be the last vacation I take with anyone.
Okay, so not that I haven't seen enough of Clark Kent's private life tonight.
I don't like where this is going.
You took Lois on a romantic getaway to some sort of a bed and breakfast. And while I doubt that the whole breakfast part poses any problems, correct me if I'm wrong, I seem to recall you having some kind of a concern about beds and non-powered people. And what would happen in the beds with the non-powered people if...
Okay, stop.
Thank you.
My training with Jor-El has helped me to manage my powers better. Let's just say that I'm in control of everything. But you weren't. And you decided to throw me a surprise party in the shower. And then you passed out only to come to with no memory. What was the last thing you do remember?
I decided to go for a walk.
Where?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Hell?
Oh, not the weekend I had in mind.
You were out here, Chloe. Do you think you could have...
Gone Norman Bates? Wait a minute. I wasn't the only one out here. There was a face, like a phantom.
What did it look like?
Black, white, and weird.
Phantom-ish.
All over. And since this is where my memory hits a roadblock, I'm... guessing that spirit started driving this dune buggy.
Who walked about in the sun?
I must have been possessed.
We obviously aren't now. But if that spirit is responsible for this murder, we need to find it before it kills again.
I like that she called her body a dune buggy.
Did you guys catch that? She goes, I must have been possessed. He goes, well, you don't seem to be anymore. Oh, really? Thank you, Sherlock.
Oh, man. I didn't know that Roadblock was in this episode.
Whenever they mention Roadblock, I love Roadblock.
He loves giving body massages.
No, as stupid as the episode was and pretty much just worthless, you could tell they were having fun.
Yeah, it was just a silly episode, and it was funny.
But too bad your ass got stabbed.
Oh, those never get old.
Who wants a body massage?
I do.
Body massage.
Thank you. So, yeah, that's Smallville. And, you know, they had a little subplot with Zod and stuff or whatever. Okay, anyway, let's talk about Fringe. Hey! Doom, 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 doom. Let's talk about Fringe, Steven. Huh? Huh? Steven? Is everything?
Pardon me, sorry.
Go away!
Oh, my God. Jesus.
We're keeping Steven up. We should probably get on with it.
Piece of...
Oh, my God. Steven, are you going to take that, huh?
Chill,
Oh my god!
I'll just stick him up on someplace high and make him scream.
He's just like, get yourself down from there.
Oh my god, I'm so scared. That has to be so embarrassing.
Yeah, you're watching that TV, it's like, I didn't make that sound. That's bullshit. It's like, no, that's you. That's you. I think you physically sucked your testicles into your body. No, I didn't.
No!
Wow.
No!
I love, when he says that no, it's like his girlfriend is starting to fall. And he's like,
no!
He's grabbing her. He saved her life.
Yeah!
Oh, my God!
All right, Fringe this week had more to do with the...
I don't know what that was from. That could sound like a porno.
Yeah. It's kind of... Wow.
Go f*** yourself.
Hey, oh, dude, what's your problem?
That's intense.
Okay, let's talk about Fringe. And this is about the L-tryptophan trials.
It's the turkey eating trials.
Yes, they gave a bunch of kids L-tryptophan and they all got sleepy, right? Mm-hmm. Or the cortexophan. And remember episode last season where the guy could manipulate people? He could, mm-hmm. like, whatever his emotions were, everyone was around him was affected, and people just follow his whatever his control was. And so this guy was also a student, and he's got this strange ability where he could transfer he's suffering from cancer.
But he was supposed to be able to cure it himself.
Right.
But
there's this mysterious person that triggered it in him. They told him what he could do. Like, he had this ability.
Yeah, that he could cure it himself, but his ability didn't fully manifest or something.
Or it manifested in the exact opposite of what he expected.
Now, Bill, the guy last season that I was just talking about, was he also visited by the same person, this mysterious person, whoever it is?
Was it ever mentioned? I don't remember.
But it's like somebody's going around trying to find...
Activate. Somebody's trying to activate all the kids that were there.
Right.
And could it be one of the guys, like the one that is trying to bring the army over, somehow connected to that?
It could be. It's very mysterious. I don't know what's going on there. But what about Sam, the guy at the bowling alley? He's very helpful for Olivia. He's there to talk to her. But who is this guy really? Because I thought they set it up more that it was kind of mysterious. He just shows up at her house and they play Clue. I don't know. Maybe there's more to him. I don't know.
It's like he's retired. I want to say CIA, but, you know, maybe not. Something even more so.
I think he might have a connection to William Bell.
But he's still, yeah, he's got connections somewhere.
Well, who is it that referred him originally? I don't remember that. I need to go back and watch.
Nina Sharp.
Oh, Nina Sharp did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She said that he helped her, was it with her hand or something?
Yeah, he did. Remember when, after Olivia has an accident in the beginning of the season, she walks with a cane and he gets her confidence back, makes her relearn things. I guess we'll learn more over time, but the stuff with, where Olivia says she wants to tell Walter, I got to tell Peter, and they kind of wrestle with that. But here's a scene here where Walter pretty much tells him about how this guy is transferring cancer into these people.
Walter, Miranda Green had lunch with someone just before she died with a man that may have had cancer. Does that suggest anything to you?
Cancer isn't contagious, of course.
That's what I said.
Although... Are you familiar with the Chinese notion of qi, Agent Dunham?
No.
Dim mak.
The touch of death.
Exactly. The Chinese believe that all living creatures contain an energy from our qi, and that with proper training, a simple touch can affect their qi, reverse it, and cause sickness, even death.
Except, of course, they can't, because the touch of death is just a legend.
Of course, what would be more interesting wouldn't be a transfer of energy, but an exchange.
Meaning what?
This other man, you say that he was sick, too, that he had cancer as well.
Possibly.
And at the time she met him, Miss Green was perfectly healthy.
Yes.
And I suggest what we're looking at here adheres more closely to tantric sex.
Sex?
Yes. insofar as the goal of tantric sex is a heightened state of perception, of awareness. Oh. The partners are not interested merely in the sexual experience. They are seeking an exchange of energy.
Okay, so what does this have to do with Miranda Green?
His cancer. For her help. It's possible that the man that Miss Green met did this to her as a way to delay the progression of his own disease.
I love when that guy shows up to Olivia's apartment. He's like, Olivia Dunham. And she's like, and that scariness of him trying to touch her, you know, and she's trying to back away.
Yeah. Don't touch her. Don't touch her.
That was really good.
Yeah, but when he grabbed her foot.
He didn't touch her skin.
Doesn't have to be skin on skin contact.
Yeah. Skin on skin.
Well, I mean, how much of the...
Oh, and by the way, early at the beginning of the episode, wasn't that...
yes, it was Diane Kruger.
Diane Kruger. That's Joshua Jackson's real life love.
Yes, fiance, I believe.
And unfortunately, how could he do that to her? Put her. She's cast in a part where she gets cancer all over her body. Like,
pustules all yeah. over her.
It's like, hey, we're going to make you look really ugly in this episode. But
I'd like to know how the hell Pacey got Diane Kruger.
Yeah, but that I thought that was really cool working her in there. But we talked about how last week's episode was so cool. It's like going from the episode about Richard on Lost to an episode about Sun and Jin.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to follow
that analogy.
It's hard to follow it up, isn't it? Especially if you're sandwiched between an episode between Richard and Desmond. So I'm thinking next week's Fringe is going to be awesome, right?
I didn't get to see what the preview for next week because my DVR cut it off.
I don't think I don't remember it myself, but I do love all the stuff, the characters interacting. But it's like you were saying earlier, Bill, the main storyline. It's like, let's get back to that. And this Cortex
was just so good. And then to go back to the freak of the week, it was little disappointing.
And technically, it was the more Cortexophan. It was related, but at the same time,
it's a combination,
not.
Yeah.
It wasn't really that much. You know, let's get back to the William Bell stuff and all that. But I know that the show will build up to an incredible finale, you know? And I'm really excited about that. And I did not see the Observer in the episode. I didn't find
him. Oh, really?
I didn't find him anywhere. So that's pretty cool. I love Fringe and I'm glad it's back. Please don't let it take a break again. You just let it play out until the finale. That's all I ask. They have too many of those breaks. Remember what, back in the day, that's one thing you could say about the last couple of seasons of Lost. They don't take breaks anymore. It's one episode after another every week. The thing that drove us crazy about season one and two, long-ass breaks. We complained about that on old
shows. Those, like, three-month breaks.
Like, season two was especially bad. And I think, like, we almost think that season two was painful because you had to wait so long. But if you watch it on DVD, you know, or on Netflix, it's not so bad.
Season three was the painful one.
Because it was stretched out so long?
No, because it was just bad.
I'm trying to remember.
It didn't go anywhere.
Is that the one with the others when they were on the Hydra Island?
Yeah.
It seemed like I got sick of them in captivity. I don't know why we're talking about this
right now. Yeah, that was them in the polar bear cages.
But I'm just saying that when you can watch it back to back to back, it's awesome from week to week. But if you have to like take a 3-month hiatus, that's painful like we had to with Fringe. I'm just glad it's back.
Yeah.
Now, before we talk about Lost, Bill, Top Chef Masters is back.
I was really excited about this until I saw how they were handling the, I guess, the contestants.
Right.
They've put way too many in.
Were you aware of any of these?
And they're bringing back ones from last season.
I think you run out of them or something. When's Gordon Ramsay showing up on Top Chef?
That would be hilarious.
When's Chef Novelli going to compete? You know?
Is that the one where they're partnering them together?
Yeah, they partnered them together in this episode, and I don't understand why if they're individually competing, supposedly. Yeah. But did you know who any of these chefs were on this first episode, Bill?
I knew who the woman was. God, what is her name? She's one of the two hot tamales from the Food Network.
Right. And I would like to eat all of their food, but... What I love is when they pull that little trick on them, these chefs, and like, You're going to prepare food at a gas station. Hey. And you're going to feed it to the band The Bravery. Do you guys know who that band is?
Hey.
Yeah, I know who they are.
Okay. Well, they have to prepare food for them because they're used to stopping at convenience stores.
Yeah, and, because they're a band and they tour.
Yeah, we go to 7-Elevens. So.
The only Bravery song I can even think of is An Honest Mistake.
I don't know a single song. I don't know who they are.
They're not bad.
It kind of reminds me of a little more pop. Kind of like, if you want to think about, like, Smiths, kind of.
Oh, wait, here it is.
Pop. Very pop. Very poppy Smiths. Yeah.
But the guy even has that kind of whiny Morrissey voice.
You know who I would compare them to is the Editors, but more poppy.
Right.
Okay. All right, well, let's check this out. What's funny is, don't you think the chefs get a little annoyed here because it's like, stupid band?
Well, quite frankly, you look at them and they just like emanate that arrogant hipster
and
quality.
Just like, dude,
with the clothes and the hair and everything. It's like, dude.
I'm making you food from a convenience store. It's not going to be that great. You know, they tried, but let's check this out. It's funny how they just kind of get defensive.
I've got baked
Our quick fire
too.
Challenge is to cook a gourmet meal with ingredients you find in a gas station. Tastes good, though.
Delicious. So you guys are about to eat some gas station creations prepared by our master chefs. Mike, you have a culinary degree. What are you expecting from the dishes that you're about to taste?
Yes, I do.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Here's our first dish.
Wow. We're serving a bread pudding with maple and caramelized bananas. Wow.
You're not jamming to this music.
I think that's the Bravery.
I wonder if all the fruit nuts came from just one snack pack.
It did. Can you hear me?
It's scary to see these inexperienced kids tasting and criticizing when I can't defend my dish.
Inexperienced.
Very sweet. Maybe a
you
little
just
too sweet.
Lady.
I'm a dessert person, so for me,
it's great.
Govan and I prepare a fiery hot Cheetos macaroni with grilled Slim Jims and a little tomato soup with Slim Jim bread crumb.
Because it was
I
red
love Slim
Cheetos.
Jim, so yeah, I'm excited.
Dig in.
And what do you think?
I like the Bravery's music.
They don't sell mac and cheese.
I think that's curious as well. It's a good question.
To me, mac and cheese is always kind of like an exploration in bland.
This is sublime.
So I'm
an
really impressed like how much they're able
bland.
To get out of that.
Flaming hot, not your average Cheeto.
I love the accoutrement of the Pringles.
This band, and you know, I'm like, who the f*** are these guys anyway? But also, look at what I'm cooking for you. It's Cheetos and, you know, Slim Jim. You know, get over it.
Yeah, get
Jerry and I are serving crispy rice cake with a clamesco sauce, which is a spin on the classic Spanish romesco sauce.
Very original. I can't say I've tasted anything like this before.
You have to keep reminding yourself this is made from gas station food because this, to me, is something that you can expect from
They know it's not made with
restaurant.
Fuel from a car, right?
It's
I couldn't eat too much of this. I like the texture a lot, but it was a little bland to me.
No.
One of the band members said they thought our dish was bland. And I think that's because he's probably used to eating these really high-salt, high-fat foods in the convenience store.
Yeah.
I love that arrogance. It's like arrogance on arrogance.
Yeah, they discount everything they're saying. Well, it's just because you're not used to eating good food. Okay.
Maybe it actually sucks.
Yeah.
Just a rock.
Because I'm crazy.
The food's much better at the Slammin' Salmon.
He pack a gun.
Huh? Awesome.
The singer packs a gun.
Steven, who's that at the door?
So let me the freaking out!
No!
It's Mark Wahlberg.
What the hell's he want, man? We're doing a show, Mark. Marky Mark, huh? Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
So let me the freaking out!
Okay,
he
dude.
Wants to get back his Marky Mark and Funky Bunch Sega CD game.
You should have allowed nature to take its course.
Huh? What does that mean? Okay.
We should have let it die.
But Top Chef Masters, it's fun. You get to see the food and all that, or whatever. But
I enjoy watching them cook it.
It's not the same as, like, you know, Top Chef, where they're fighting and stuff. Except, Bill, we saw in the previews some chefs aren't getting along coming up. So we'll be sure and have that material for the show. Awesome. Now, guys, let's talk about the Desmond-centric Lost. Awesome. I was really excited about this episode. Any episode with Lost, you know, they're just waiting to tell the story, and it's so exciting because I love Desmond as a character, and just the whole scene. He's back on the island. Widmore needs him for something. They have that mysterious box outside with the coils inside of it.
Electromagnet, yeah.
And their test.
That was awesome.
The dude accidentally gets fried, you know.
That was cool. I mean.
It's like, I knew as soon as that guy was in there with the flashlight, I was like, oh, that dude's toast. I was even looking at
I was trying to check if his shirt was red.
I was going to say the same thing, like a bright red shirt. Hey, let me go check this out. It's like, oh, dude, he's dead in a second.
Hey, the breaker's out there.
Yeah. Dude, you're toast.
Turn it off.
I just love everything about this episode. And let's go to Desmond. They throw him inside. All of Jin's like, what are you going to do to him? Don't put him in there. It's like, no, I have to explain to you. I don't have time.
If he survived a massive electromagnetic event once, he can most likely survive another. That's
right.
What they were doing.
So as soon as they threw the switch, he's there at the airport. And Hurley tells him where the baggage is. He's talking to Claire. And he works for Widmore. He's successful. He has money. He's in Widmore's favor.
He's unmarried.
Did you notice the painting on the wall of the scales? Did you like that in Widmore's office? Mm-hmm. And he has the yacht in there. Kind of like familiar things. Well, the yacht was. I don't know if Desmond cares about a scale or anything. But I love it. He's like, my son, he wants a band to play. And what was it, like his birthday or something? I can't remember.
Yeah. But he wanted to perform with Drive Shaft.
Yeah, and we know it's Daniel Faraday, right?
Yeah.
And he wants – so we know this is Charlie involved in this. And there's a great scene here where Charlie he's in jail, and Desmond goes to bail him out, but he's already coming out. And he walks right into the bar, and they're kind of talking. And he starts off the conversation about how things are different now because he had an experience. And then he talks to him about love or whatever. And let's check this scene out.
I'm talking about spectacular, consciousness-altering love. Do you know what that looks like?
I wasn't aware that love looked like anything.
I've seen it, mate. On the plane back from Sydney.
Is that so? Well, we were on the same flight, so maybe I saw it too.
Trust me, you didn't.
No? Enlighten me.
Who's this woman? Two rows in front of me. In handcuffs. Same with a cop. He looked at me. Knew I was holding. If I didn't take action, I'd be caught. So I got up, went to the lab, proceeded to eliminate the evidence by swallowing my stash. And at that exact moment, we had turbulence. I choked. The entire bag of heroin was stuck in my throat. It's over. Everything starts to go dark. I'm slipping into the abyss, and then I see her. Oh. A woman. Blonde. Rapturously beautiful. And I know her. We're together. It's like we've always been and always will be. This feeling, this love. And just as I'm about to be engulfed by it, I open my eyes, and this sodding idiot is standing there asking me if I'm okay. But I saw it. Just for a moment, I saw what it looked like.
Well, that's just poetry, brother.
You know, you should write a song about that.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Poor suicidal rock star. But I've seen something real. I've seen the truth.
And then when they're in the car, of course, Charlie drives it into the water. Did you guys love that scene where he's the hand on the glass and he sees Not Penny's boat? He kind of has this little flash there. And when there's the hospital, I just absolutely love the scene where he's in Desmond's in the CAT scan machine and the thing's making that rattle sound. Then all of a sudden he sees Penny and the music swells. I thought that was really awesome.
That was.
And then he needs to talk to Charlie again. And he's like, you experienced, didn't you? He wants to look at his hands to see if it says, he's like, who the hell's Penny? And what's funny is when he's talking to Widmore and he's like, sorry, I didn't get Charlie. It's not going to happen. The drive shaft. He's like, you're going to tell my wife. Nobody says no. He looks like he's afraid of her, doesn't he?
I would be too.
She's kind of frightening.
Fisher Stevens looking afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forget about
you. Going to tell what her?
Yeah, Minkowski. He was fantastic in that episode from last season too. Minkowski, was that last season or season before? I can't remember. I think it was season before.
Season before on the boat with Michael. Yeah.
Yeah. Season four on the boat. That was another Desmond episode. But what was funny is Daniel Faraday, we know that he's not a scientist. He's a musician. And did you guys feel robbed we didn't get to see a drive shaft Daniel Faraday jam session on a stage?
Man, am I glad that didn't happen.
What's funny when they're listening to that You All Everybody in the car, he's like, what do you think? He's like, that's good for what it is. He's like, he's not complimentary at all. It's good for what it is, I guess. But Charlie, it's interesting. He had a near-death experience, and he saw the flash, and now Desmond has. And he talks to Daniel Faraday, who's actually Daniel Widmore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he tells him all about when he saw Charlotte for the first time. Let's check it out.
Do you believe in love at first sight, Mr. Hume?
It's kind of similar to the other
guys. Excuse me? First time I saw her was walking through this museum a few weeks ago. She works here. She was on her lunch break. She's eating a chocolate bar. She has these incredible blue eyes, red hair. And as soon as I saw her, right in that moment, it was like I already loved her. And that's when things got weird. Same night after I saw that woman, I woke up and I wrote this.
So what is it?
I'm a musician. I have no idea. So I took it to a friend of mine at Caltech. He's a math whiz. He said, this is quantum mechanics. He said, these equations are so advanced that only someone who'd been studying physics their entire life could have come up with them.
So what do they mean?
Okay, imagine something terrible is about to happen, something catastrophic, and the only way to stop it from happening was by releasing a huge amount of energy, like setting off a nuclear bomb.
You want to set off a nuclear bomb?
Just listen. What if this, all this, what if this wasn't supposed to be our life? What if we had some other life? For some reason, we changed things. I don't want to set off a nuclear bomb, Mr. Young. I think I already did. Why did you ask my mother about a woman named Penny? It happened to you too, didn't it? You felt it.
I don't know. I don't know what I felt.
Yes. You do. You felt love.
That's impossible because I don't know anything about this woman. I don't know where she is. I don't even know if she exists.
No, it's Jim. She's my half-sister.
What the what?
And
And I can tell you exactly where and when you can find her.
Remember, Eloise didn't want him to pursue Penny in any way. She said he's not ready. I want to know what the hell is going on with this chick. What is she after? What does she know? Because she seems to know a lot, doesn't she? In the previous episodes, they've shown her. And they showed her in the past on the island when she was younger and she was pregnant with Daniel. She accidentally killed Daniel, which was sad. But remember that episode? Is it was it The Constant or Flashes Before Your Eyes where he visited her? Remember he was going to buy the ring and she says, you don't buy the ring. You can't propose to Penny because you have something else to do. You have another responsibility in your life. Do you remember that, Bill?
That was The Constant, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that was The Constant, because now I'm starting to think maybe Eloise Hawking is The Constant. You know, that if she knows, she obviously knows what's going on. She's basically coddled Daniel into doing whatever he wants, whereas in the other universe, she was very hard on him to achieve.
Right.
The highest academic possibilities, and whereas here he's just some, you know, musician.
And she accidentally kills him, too, when she's younger.
So I would have to think that she knows in that universe that she kills him in the other one, so she's trying to do everything exactly opposite with him so that he, you know, that doesn't come to fruition in that universe. So,
you know,
there's some really crazy multi-dimensional stuff going on, but I love the thing that love conquers time, space, dimension.
Yeah, that was awesome. And, you know, we were talking about today, Sun, she's been shot, so she's in some kind of her life's in danger. She's going to see her life on the island possibly now, just like Charlie did.
If she dies in that universe, does that mean she's going to die on the island?
I don't think that, because Charlie's dead on the island and he's alive in the other.
Well, that's true. You're right. You got me there.
I just think that it means she'll know that it's like, Charlie, all this is a sham. This isn't real. They created this alternate timeline, but I don't know. I don't understand what all that means. But
with the Charlie thing, if you think about it in the timeline, the corresponding parallel timelines, Charlie isn't dead on the island at that point in time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when the plane crashes, if you think, you know, the plane had landed.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I understand.
It had only been a day or two, so Charlie would still be alive on the island.
Yeah, but you don't know what that time difference is.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
On the island either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't, you know,
Well, people even said they noticed this, like, on Claire's when she was in the hospital and Ethan did the sonogram, the date was different than what it would have been. It's kind of strange. Almost like Flight 815 happened on a different date than it did in the other world. So that's confusing as hell. I don't know.
Well, yeah, if you think about it, the people look different and all that. I mean, I don't think they tried to hide that. But so maybe it does take place at a different point.
When Desmond meets Penny, I thought that was a great scene. And when he goes to right when he touches her hand, he transfers the cancer to. Oh wait, wrong show. No, he blacks
and she
out.
Gets gigantic pustules all over her.
He wakes up on the island, and now he was kicking and screaming. Now he's more agreeable. And Widmore's like, "Hey, what do you have to say about all this, Desi?" He's just like, all right, whatever I have to do. Everything's great, right? He has this newfound awareness. Like his.
So he no longer wants to beat Whitmore to death.
With the IV stand. But
5 minutes ago, you would beat him to death.
I love that scene. He walks out and Saeed snaps the dude's necks and he tells the chick to run away. And he's like, you must come with me, Desmond. These people are dangerous. And he's like, okay. And he just goes off with him. It's like, okay, that was interesting. It's almost like what?
Well, number one, if a dude walks up and snaps people's necks and he says, come with me, you're like,
all right, he's got a gun too. And
he's going to snap my neck or shoot me.
I love the way Saeed talks, Desmond, these people are dangerous. You must come with me. It's like, okay, I'm coming. But he doesn't seem at all worried at all, does he?
No.
Desmond.
And he's got a kind of a blissfulness about him. That
right. The sideways thing, he tells Fisher Stevens, what's his name, Walter, his real name? He goes by his first name, Walt Minkowski or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tells him, I need a manifest of the people on the plane. He's like, why? And he's like, I need to show them something. So that's really cool. Just the idea that Desmond's now on the show regularly now. You know what I mean? He's now there. He's on the island, and that's good. Because he was missing all this time, and I really dig the character. And, you know, what we were talking about before about the sideways timeline and what's going to happen, that stuff, much like it just happened, really, when you start thinking about it, it confused me. Because I don't know if Sun is – she's dying. She's been shot. I don't know what's happened. She'll be taken to the hospital where Jack is, most likely. Or maybe people have said maybe Juliet, because she's Sun is pregnant and Juliet specializes in babies, right? Something like that. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean for her on the island? I don't know. At what point do the people on the island, will they become aware of that? Because go back to Juliet when she says it worked. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Miles said, she said it worked.
Mm-hmm.
She was dying. She was having that death experience on the island, though.
So she was seeing
life?
The sideways life.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. So it's really cool. I just don't know how it's all going to come together is what I'm saying. And also what's interesting, they have the whole mystical thing of Jacob and the man in black and all that. And then to go to this, the electromagnetism again and the,
well, the sideways
science.
Life,
it's like it's everything. It's,
yeah.
There's like strange.
Back to the science fiction.
If the sideways life works, they're not there to release the man in black loose on the world.
Well, also, what if the sideways world is a creation of the man in black, or he knew it would all happen, so he's actually fulfilling their promises, like, Saeed, you will see Nadia again if you join me. And he does. Or, Jack, you will have a family, whatever. I don't know. Actually, he hasn't talked to him yet, but I'm just saying that things are different there. And technically would have fulfilled his promises, but he just didn't say, it wouldn't be your life right now. It'll be in an alternate universe. Kind of like that show Fringe. Have you ever watched that? No, I haven't. It hasn't come on yet. It's 2004.
Dun. I just love that the two universes are colliding in their minds.
Right.
Like in the Dark Tower. That just...
It's gonna
when
be
I was watching
cool.
the episode, all I could think of was the Dark Tower just smiling ear to ear.
Bill, if I see Jack start to draw a doorway in the sand, I'll shit my pants.
Oh, my God. That's, yeah.
He's like,
if somebody comes through a doorway or...
Sawyer, what are you doing there? Whittling?
Oh, I see something in this. I don't know what yet, but...
I'm hooked, man. Lost. Hey, does anybody have any complaints? I don't.
No.
Awesome.
I thought it was a great episode.
And it looks like, do you guys remember season one, Everybody Hates Hugo was the name of the episode? Have you seen the name of the next week's episode?
Uh-uh. Everybody Loves Hugo?
Yeah, it's Everybody Loves Hugo. So that's really cool. I can't wait to see it.
I'm excited to see the Hartley-centric episode. I want to know in the previews how he says that on the island, everybody that's dead comes back to yell at him. I want to know what's going on.
It's going to be cool. All right, guys. Spartacus, Blood and Sand. Ha, ha, ha. Awesome episode, Bill. Did you check it out?
This was the... this episode reminded me of that season two episode of The Sopranos where Tony's sick and he's dreaming the weird dreams, like where he's on the boardwalk. And
oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And he's like, he's getting all these clues as to what's going on
right.
With his life, but in kind of an obscure way, whereas this episode was really just kind of out there.
It was almost, that episode was very crazy, but basically it was his subconscious telling him to notice something that mm-hmm. he didn't notice. And this episode of Spartacus is his subconscious telling him to notice something. And that is tend to the wound. tend to the wound, Spartacus. And he's like, huh? Well, what's going on there?
My wound? Your wound? Whose wound?
And it turns out it's not his wound at all, even though he has a huge gash in his side that looks pretty nasty, doesn't it?
That scene where he's practicing and he's like ready to pass out and they cut to the wound and it's like oozing pus.
Yeah. They're like, Spartacus! Like, oh. He's like, whoa, what? And he's like, tend to that wound! You look like you have gills on a shark or something. Come on! But earlier on, there's a scene here where Batiatus, he always tells Spartacus what he wants to hear, doesn't he? He tells him of how he's pissed off that Varro's dead and he'll see things right. And Spartacus is his buddy. Let's check it out.
One silver-tongued son of a bitch.
And by the way, Batiatus, you're right, Bill. He's got a way with words, doesn't he?
Yes.
Wow.
Is this truly my likeness? From so many years past, the marble must be etched with such lines.
Would that every man lived to see his face so marred.
And the wretched past, smooth of skin. Varro's death has been foremost in my thoughts. It seizes the breast to lose a gladiator of such standing.
The comparison is false. To a son losing his father, a wife, a husband.
A burden, to be sure, yet he was aware of the risk and took them of his free will.
As a gladiator, not a child's plaything.
The magistrate and his whelp have caused us both pain. It will not go unanswered, I promise you.
Be of service toward the deed.
Take comfort from knowing its intent. I would have your focus turned towards the games of Pompey. That perfumed shit, Saloni, has always secured the primus by inserting tongue in ass, only to be crushed by our city's hated rival. But this year, he falls out of favor. This year, the House of Batiatus secures the honor. Spartacus, bringer of rain to face Pericles, Titan of Pompey.
It is to be seen, Missioni.
No quarter given, no mercy shown.
And the purse?
To be on a footing with the match itself.
I would see it paid to Varro's wife.
A substantial sum, you would see it all pass from your fingers?
Along with future winnings that I claim in the arena.
A noble gesture. When I shall see matched.
You would do this for Varro.
I would do it for you, Spartacus, that you have peace of mind knowing his family is attended to.
What a nice guy.
These sad events have obviously taken their toll.
Had them all
rest and be reassured that those responsible for our pain will soon drink deep of their own.
Yes. You know, there's that painful scene where...
I love John Hannah.
He's great.
Such a ham. I love him.
He's like Pac-Man eating up the scenery. That's
Once in a while, he gets a power pellet.
watching the History Channel, and they're talking about this Battle of Pompey last night.
Mm. Awesome.
And they're talking about, it's like how they had, at one point, they filled up the arena there with water and had ships fighting inside.
Holy shit.
You know,
that's awesome.
And so,
those people knew how to party.
I mean, that's the
Romans really did. I mean, just they were fucking insane. Sorry.
So the emperor here, this emperor wanted a bigger battle than that. So they got this lake. They brought ships in, 36,000 men fighting
to the death.
To the death.
Wow.
Oh my God, I'm so scared.
If I can remember right, but that was. Like
Angela would have been one of the first ones to go.
Oh, Angela would have taken it.
It
early.
Just sounded so familiar that Pompey.
But, you know like, what, Bill? Spartacus never did fight in this fight because he was sick from his horrible wound, and Crixus fills in for him. But the blood in this episode was awesome. It was just like a faucet turning on. Did you notice that? It was like. Yeah, and it wasn't CGI. It's like they stuck a water hose and cranked it on.
And they're getting so much better, the guys that are doing the... Every week, it improves.
It really
like
does.
Like, they're learning as they go, and they're getting better and better at the effect.
But I just... There's one point where the blood squirted out of this dude's neck, and I laughed out loud because I really get into that. I love it. I'm just like, oh,
it's just so much fun. Well, you know what it is? We react how the... pretty much how the audience reacts.
Yeah, we're like, yes! I take off my top while I'm watching it.
So do I. I do the my take off my pants and do the penis helicopter.
Because, you know, if you ever watch the stands and the scenes of the gladiators, it's hilarious that women are always taking their shirts off and stuff. It's like Girls Gone Wild in the Roman era.
Jason's laying back, got the grapes feeding him. So. Yeah.
Aha, it's a feast while we watch men kill each other. But, you know, earlier on in the episode, poor Spartacus is preparing Varro for his wife to pick him up. And he's there. He's all grayish, you know, pale. And his wife is like,
"Dad,
is it true it's your sword that killed him?" And he's like, "Yes." And she was like, "He loved you like a brother." He's like, "You know, I already feel shitty enough, okay, lady? I feel horrible." And he was like, he said, it was just a child's plaything. And back to the tend to the wound thing, Varro keeps talking to him, and so does his wife. And he realizes that the guy who showed up with his wife in the wagon, he was wounded in the chest. And he's like, "I couldn't stop them." Oh, oh. And his wife falls out and she dies. He noticed that the guy didn't seem to have a wound on his stomach when he kind of like walked by. He was getting the dude was getting like sexual pleasure from the handmaidens, you know. And
rubbing grapes all over him?
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. But the funny thing about this time where whenever sex stuff happens, Bill, you notice there's no closed doors. It's just out in the open in front of everybody. Yeah. What's that all about?
Well, they were very what open people. That? They very sexually free.
Yeah,
they were very hippie-ish.
Come on, dude.
No, they were, dude. What do you think would have happened, like, if you were in that, what is the place called? The this gladiator school. It's called the Ludus, right?
Yes.
If you shut the door to your Ludus, what do you think would happen?
So let me the freaking out!
That's right.
Mark Wahlberg would show up.
He shows up. He wants in.
It would peek in your peephole.
So you might as well just leave the door open, because he's coming in anyway. But,
but that's only if you have Reese Witherspoon. In your house.
Right. I would just throw Reese Witherspoon out the window. There you go. Okay, buddy. You don't need to come in.
Take her.
I just threw her ass out of the house just like Fred Flintstone, all right? Just take her, okay? So Spartacus, he realizes the guy wasn't wounded, so he's like strangling him, and he's like, "Tell me." He's like, "I was following the orders of Bratiatus." And then doesn't he snap his neck after that? Because the whole time, what's going on here, I forgot to mention this, is Bratiatus is screwing that perfumed bitch, Salonius. What did he call him? I forget. But he's like, he's setting him up. That senator guy who told Bratiatus last week that he had no place in politics, he wasn't the stock. He's really pissed off about that. So he kidnaps him, puts him in the sewers, and he's going to frame the other guy who... is that Salonius? He's going to make him look like he murdered him. And he does it perfectly to a T. The authorities show up. His son's there. He's standing with a knife over his body as he's there dead on the ground. He finds him, and he's got the knife because he's going to cut him free. And he walks in. He's holding the knife, and he's like, "Oh, damn it." He realizes he's totally screwed.
I got totally taken by that. Like, I'm thinking Asher is totally messing with the... Bratiatus
and the whole time
side with that guy, and
yeah, the whole time he's got it all figured out. I thought that was awesome. It was
that
just
was well, it just showed, you know, throughout the series we see Bratiatus is just kind of an asshole. I mean, he's an asshole, but he's you know, he's responsible for Spartacus's wife's death, and he likes playing people. But we haven't seen until this point how intense and actually smart, evilly smart he is.
Very cunning and bloodthirsty. Yeah. Right.
I mean, at this point, he becomes a true villain.
He does. And what's great is... One of the kidnappers is the guy who serves Bratiatus, who was stabbed, fake stabbed, and that's when Spartacus questions him. And, you know, Spartacus is taken ill the whole episode. And remember what the senator says? He goes, "The only reason we put up with you is because of Spartacus, the bringer of rain. Once he's dead, you're going to be screwed." And he's like, yeah, whatever. And then when he goes back home and he sees Spartacus is deathly ill and the guy's like, he may not live through the night. He's like, shit. I love that. He's like, oh, crap. What am I going to do now? And Crixus is feeling better. Yeah, it's not Spartacus, though. And when Spartacus, after he's framed the guy, Batiatus comes home and he sees Spartacus working out again. He's like, Spartacus, it seems you turned to your old form. And he's like, he turns and he looks at him because now he knows he had his wife killed. And he's like, I'm back to my old self again. And I was just like, yeah. Wasn't that awesome?
That was so good. The casting, the characters, the writing, everything about this show has improved immensely, and I enjoy it so much. It's like I told you this week. Fridays are my favorite day because it's do the show and then watch Spartacus.
Yes.
That's the day I look forward to. Spartacus is the show I look forward to, and I'm sad that we're not going to get the second season sooner.
Yeah.
But I just want Andy Whitfield to get better.
Yeah.
As soon as possible.
I mean, some people have compared the show to, you know, like, oh, they're trying to be like Rome on HBO. I don't think so at all. I think their main...
No.
They've even said their main influence is to be a graphic novel like 300.
Exactly.
So stop comparing it to
Rome
on HBO. Yeah.
Rome was insanely boring.
Wait, what was that, Spartacus?
The comparison is false.
Yes. That's what I thought.
They are. I couldn't put it better. They are nailing the entire Frank Miller graphic novel kind of setting and scene. I mean, I have no problem with it. Some people, oh, it's a 300 ripoff. I don't care.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It works.
Sitting tongue and ass.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, if they were trying to redo 300, but they're not.
It's the story of Spartacus.
It's in the style of.
Oh, and Bill, I kind of mentioned this before just to you. It wasn't on the show, but Jeff Wayne did War of the Worlds, the musician.
Yes.
And that's something we love. We love the War of the Worlds. But he also did a musical take on Spartacus, the story of Spartacus.
Which I had no idea. I mean, Jeff Wayne to me is War of the Worlds.
Right.
That's pretty much all I've ever known him for.
And basically, just from reading Wikipedia, it says that Spartacus didn't take off. You know, basically, War of the Worlds was like lightning striking. Everyone listened to his huge hit. Spartacus came out. Nobody even knew what it was or even noticed it or didn't care. So, but I'm interested now into checking it out. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It ought to be pretty cool.
I mean, the War of the Worlds, the second or the opening track, the Eve of the War. I mean, that's just iconic.
Right.
That music, you hear it. I know it's funny. Charlie Brooker, the British comedian satirist, does a couple different shows, and one of them is Newswipe, where he kind of covers the week's news around the world. And he always, anytime there's a end of the world scenario, he always uses that music, that Eve of the War music, and it's so funny.
It's like that dun dun dun.
Yeah,
awesome.
Perfume.
Hey, Batiatus, what is he talking about? Good old body eyes.
These sad events have obviously taken their toll.
Yeah, they have. Okay, so let's move on to news. What do you say, Bill?
All right, let's do it.
Love Spartacus. Let's do the news. Let's do the news, Steven.
Let's do some news.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, when you guys were in school, I know when I was in school, like elementary school, high school, when we needed to do a fundraiser, we normally sold candy bars.
Yeah.
Did you ever have to do that?
I sold spices like bacon bits and stuff like
that. Yeah,
we
did that too.
I
remember we would get a box of candy bars and we would end up eating them all and our parents would have to pay for them.
Yeah, that happened. Definitely.
But here, this school in St. Charles, Illinois, the Music Booster Club at the Central Community Unit School, District 301, in case you needed to know, they're not bothering with bake sales or car washes. Instead, they're selling bags of something promoters are calling pack-a-poo.
Huh?
Yes, it's exactly what you would think it is. It's alpaca manure. The club secretary says it's a great garden fertilizer and comes in little pellets that are easy to work into the ground. Parents, students, and teachers will be scooping and selling droppings on Saturday at the Inspiration Farm Alpacas. A 30-pound bag will cost $10. That is, and pardon the unintentional pun, that is the shittiest fundraiser I have ever heard of.
No!
Yeah, I'll just take a candy bar, thank you.
What, a $2 candy bar?
Do we need this for?
It's horrible waxy chocolate, but I don't care. It's chocolate.
Whoa!
Scooping 30 pounds of shit to get $10.
Yeah,
that's
no
shocking to me. Farm owner Jeff Coles has been raising alpacas for 4 years. Usually sells manure for profit. He says alpacas digest their food more efficiently than most farm animals, so their waste doesn't smell too bad.
Oh, okay.
It's still shit.
Yeah.
Shit, bud.
Yeah, shit is shit, dude.
All right. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. A heavily intoxicated man urinated on himself early yesterday. But he also stripped off his clothes and broke into a home he thought was his.
His head up his ass.
He was only off by about 46 miles. Bethlehem police were dispatched yesterday when a neighbor reported seeing a man breaking into the home. The people who lived at the home were away, the neighbor told police. When police arrived, they found a man with no pants attempting to climb in through a window.
So let me freaking out!
What's a drunken Mark Wahlberg?
I know it!
Police officers found the man's pants, socks, underwear, and shoes on the porch. Did he think that, like, maybe he would be able to get through the window easier if he didn't have clothes on?
No!
I would, if it was my own house, I would never even think of that. It's like, I'm going to strip off my clothes.
Well, I got clean ones in there.
Yeah, as soon as I get in there, I'm going to change my clothes.
Aaron Michael Ward, 27, told police he thought he lived at the home, but records showed he lives in Berks County, which is about 46 miles away from the home location. Ward apparently urinated on himself and stripped down on the porch and attempted to break into the home. He was taken to the St. Luke's Hospital because he cut himself with glass attempting to break into the home.
Little bitch.
Because he didn't like feeling dirty, he took off his clothes before he tried to get into the house.
Oh, smart thinking.
Yeah, why not?
And perhaps a side of horse.
Huh?
Horse meat's very good, actually, I hear. I'd try it if they sold it. I don't care if they're majestic creatures. I'll eat anything.
If you please.
All right. Police aren't sure whether Walmart's prices were so good or if there was a shortage of chocolate rabbits. Whatever the reason, seven women ended up in a brawl in the Easter basket aisle Saturday evening. Candy eggs, rabbits, and peeps flew through the air in an unlikely Easter exchange. Property damage, primarily to candy and Easter decorations, totaled nearly $800.
Whoa, unbelievable.
Salisbury, Maryland police responded to the Walmart around 7 p.m. Saturday night. Five officers separated the women into two groups. which each claiming the other group started the fight. Unable to figure out who initiated the brawl, officers decided to charge all those involved with an incident with public affray. The ages of those charged range from 17 to 24.
It's nice. It's fun stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, that must have been some damn cheap Easter candy. A South Brunswick police say a man on the Route 1 McDonald's SmackDown video in which he he climbs through the drive-thru window after being frustrated that his order was too slow said they have received a number of tips identifying the suspect in the video.
Who the f*** are these guys anyway?
The suspect said he and his children saw the video footage of the assault televised and decided it was time to turn himself in. Police charged the late-night muncher with simple assault, making terroristic threats. If convicted, he could receive up to 5 years in prison.
Whoa.
All he wanted was a filet-o-fish sandwich, but he lost his cool, and things got out of hand from there. Man, them filet-o-fish sandwiches can really get you angry.
Totally.
Police say East paid for his order, but became angry because he felt the worker took too long to bring him a sandwich. That's when police say East of New Brunswick climbed through the pickup window, hollered at the employee, then pushed him against the counter before threatening him, then slapping the worker in the face.
Oh my God.
There's been enough screw-ups for one day.
According to the State Department of Corrections, East has served 30 months in prison from 1996 to 1998 for a drug conviction. He was released on a complaint pending his first court appearance on April 13th. So I guess he found a brand new way to get right back into prison.
And this sobbing idiot.
What are you in here? Damn filet of fish sandwich took too long.
Bam, 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 finish.
All right, and I think some other people will enjoy this. We have more information about the Jason Lee ex-wife. She went to the Inquirer and started talking about her past experiences with Scientology.
Oh, dear.
And yes.
Yeah! Oh, my God!
So, Jason Lee divorced this woman, actress Carmen Llewellyn, in 2001. But only now she feels safe enough to come forward with some dirt about Scientology. She tells the Inquirer that she's trying to stay away from L. Ron Hubbard's wacky cult since she divorced Lee. She says, "If I see a Scientologist now, across the street. I was shopping recently when Jenna Elfman, who's a staunch Scientologist, approached me. She spouted statements like a robot and treated me like dirt because she knew I'd blown for good," which I guess means that you've completely got out of Scientology.
How do you know when a Scientologist is approaching you?
I think you have Scientologist radar after you've been
in
it.
It's a rumor that she's a Scientologist.
Llewellyn says she only joined Scientology because Lee made that a prerequisite for being with him.
Huh.
The couple was married from 95 to 2001. His message was that if I didn't join, I wasn't going to be with him. So I joined, but it was like a cult.
Thetan.
And I foolishly allowed it to take root in me. Once in the Bizarro Club, Llewellyn got to meet some of its goofy VIPs, which we've talked about.
What's an engram?
Jason and I were talking to Tom.
I never said anything about it.
Told him. I thought I covered some of this last week, didn't I?
No.
Okay. Jason and I were talking to Tom Cruise, and we told him that we went to the Scientology Center in Los Angeles. He said brightly, "Oh, yeah? Well, me and Nicole are Scientologists, too, right, Nick?" But she turned and gave Tom the most evil look. She stared at him for about 10 seconds, and Tom looked at her like she was throwing daggers with his eyes. I interpreted her look to mean I'm not a Scientologist, and I will not be a Scientologist. She was clearly mad at Tom for saying this. The next thing you know, they're getting a divorce. At the time, the word went around all the Scientologists that Nicole was an SP, so Tom has to divorce her. SP is a suppressive person.
And it's wild and woolly, and it's blessed.
Suspicious person?
Suppressive person.
Oh, okay. They're just basically it's their word for buzzkill.
Yeah.
Telling me I'm all wacko.
Llewellyn said that when she and Lee finally divorced, Scientology officials tried to arrange a settlement that was very unfavorable to her. She got her own attorney and got a better one. Afterward, however, Scientology threatened her, saying that she'd lose all her friends. She lost her manager. She lost her agent and career. People wouldn't return her phone calls. And Scientologists would follow her down the street, take pictures of her kids, stake out her house, and they would wait until she came out, and then they would proceed to follow her.
And she doesn't understand the history of psychiatry.
They basically stalked her to the point where she was scared for her life and was nearly suicidal.
That sucks. Why did they do that? They just harass somebody. What are they going to lose if she just leaves and they leave her alone?
I don't know. You know, that's what's so crazy about the whole thing is there's so many stories that have come out about how psycho they are. Why do they continue to just continue it doing this? It just makes them look even more crazy than they already are.
An electropsychometer.
Except they deny it all. Like, oh, we're not, you know. There's nothing going on here.
It's like you've read. I'm sure we've talked about it too. Is every time, like, when you run out of money and they kind of kick you out because you no longer have money, it's like these people become suicidal and.
Well, when they kick you out, they then ask you to pay them back. Because that's the thing. They never kick you out. That's wrong. They don't kick you. They actually get you to work for them. And if you wise up and leave, they then bill you for services rendered.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's what happened with the guy that actually wrote that book, Blown for Good.
Wasn't that the guy who was in Californication this season?
Jason, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Jason,
we're just Scientologists.
Remember, Bill, he plays the drunken professor.
Yeah. I just don't know how to pronounce his last name. He was the lead in Monkey Shines.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, he left Scientology and, started giving interviews about how crazy they are. And, you know, he's nice enough to say, listen, I've met a lot of great people. I learned a lot of good things, but it's a cult. And there's a lot of terrible things about it, too.
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
And that's news for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. Pretty awesome.
It's a combination of real / cult.
Oh, my God. That's pretty scary. All right, Bill, you want to do some DVDs?
No!
What?
No.
Angelo, you want to do some DVDs, right?
No!
Well, too bad. We're going to do it anyway, all right? Jesus.
Oh, my God.
All right, guys, let's do some DVDs. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! DVDs! HD Blu-ray standard definition!
DVDs! Oh, hell yizzle! The DVDs!
Bam, 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 bam.
Hell yeah!
Slowpoke Rodriguez!
Huh? What about him?
He packed a gun.
You will be good with the chili peppers.
All of a sudden, I'm craving Mexican food.
Chili peppers.
Wait, Bill, I hear someone knocking on your door in the background. What is that?
So let me the freaking house!
Oh, my God, it's Mark Wahlberg.
How did he get over there so fast? Oh, my God.
I can't do the DVDs. I have to leave.
Whatever you do, don't let him in.
I'm going to sneak out the back. He won't even know I'm gone.
Whew, pretty scary, man.
So let me in the house!
I want you to take its course.
What?
And it will anyway.
I don't know what he's talking about. He's such a so full of wisdom, that Mark Wahlberg, isn't he?
He is his generation's true philosopher.
Mm-hmm. I want Mark Wahlberg to start a cult.
What would he call it?
I have no idea.
The Entourageans.
No, it would be like something to do with vibrations. That's all I know.
Good vibrations.
All right, Bill. What DVDs do we have this week? I'm very excited. Excited. I mean,
you are exciting, though.
Whoa.
Huh?
Tuesday, April 13th, 2010. DVDs for this week include starting off with Emergency. Season 6!
Woohoo! Awesome!
Starring everyone's favorite owner of the Double Douche, Kevin Tai.
Hell yeah! There was something about him when I was a kid. It was just like, that guy's awesome. You know, it's just like you look up to him, right? He's just got that kind of face.
He can turn the F word into Buick. I mean, come on, that's awesome.
Stop screwing with me!
Oh my God. Why is he so upset? I don't know.
And there was that other guy in it that had the awesome name, Randolph Mantooth.
That's a scary name, actually.
That's an awesome. I mean, come on, you have a name like that, people are going to respect you.
Totally.
All right. There's a re-release of Gone with the Wind on DVD and Blu-ray, I guess. They did that big box release that was...
Oh, God.
I think it was like the 70th anniversary edition or the Ultimate Collector's Edition that was like $70. And now they're doing the single disc edition release on DVD and Blu-ray for the people that didn't want to shell out. Personally, I could give a shit. I could give a damn.
Frankly, my dear, you don't give a damn about this release.
No, I don't. It's just one of those movies that I never appreciated, I've seen, but just was like, okay, it's too long, and I don't get it.
Hate that!
Oh my God, okay, we get it. Do you feel like Jacob there, Bill?
Hate that!
I do. I
Go
do.
Away!
It makes me want to kick my TV.
Wow.
That is not me!
It's like, my TV, you seem to get it over. It's in disarray.
What did you do to my son, Suey?
Hey, what's she talking about?
Anytime I hear Daewoo, I think of Pineapple Express with the, you just got owned by Daewoo Lanos. The blow dart.
Steven, look out! Oh, right in the neck. Oh.
There's a tribesman back there.
That's what I said.
Foggy doesn't even have my back to block me.
Continuing this thing Disney's doing with their DVDs, The Great Mouse Detective, The Mystery in the Mist edition, just on DVD, not on Blu-ray.
What? Well, who cares? Yeah.
I know. I don't get why Disney is doing this. Who's buying DVDs still?
The Great Mouse Detective. If I remember correctly, that's pretty badass, too, isn't it?
It's not a bad movie. You know, it's...
It's a little mouse, and he's like a detective.
Holy is a mouse!
Yeah, that's
basically
what I said.
Sherlock Holmes is a mouse.
Little midget swirling inside there.
I don't remember.
I don't
that.
Know about midgets, but that would be excellent.
Yeah, I don't remember that part. Do you?
I want to see. That's what the asylum needs to do. They need to do another Sherlock Holmes, but just cast midgets.
Monk entire of thing. Evil darkness.
We could call it like mini Sherlock Holmes or something. That'd be awesome. I'd love that.
I'd be in the theater, man, the first day.
I love midgets.
So sad.
What is?
All right. Well, okay.
I guess she doesn't like she doesn't like tiny people.
They depress her.
Rodriguez.
No, he's a mouse. No, and how great would that be? The great mouse detective, Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Or he just shoots everyone.
Yeah, he packs a gun, man.
You will be good with the chili peppers.
Peppers!
He's for me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I love
now
that.
Now he calls me.
You see Mel Blanc doing those.
Yeah.
Say, hey, where's Mel Blanc now? Oh, in hell burning?
Oh, my God, I'm so scared.
I was just kidding, Angela. It's okay. Calm down, okay, dude?
Look at you, pitiful piece of...
Okay, it looks like we're getting a... I guess to capitalize on the new Nightmare on Elm Street film, we're getting the re-release of the Nightmare on Elm Street collection, this time with Freddy versus Jason added in.
Oh, and you know, in the Nightmare on Elm Street canon, I don't really accept that into the fold of the storyline. What about you, Steven?
No.
You guys are purists.
Yeah, we're totally purists, man. I'm just not, you nothing know, I just don't accept it.
Nothing after the Nightmare 3.
Yeah, you don't go along with the Dream Child.
Yeah, I stop at the
in
Dream
my
Warriors.
Dreams, I'm beautiful. And bad.
Okay. Wow.
And also, I guess they didn't feel the need to put the other films on Blu-ray. They're just releasing the original Nightmare on Elm Street on
sorry,
Blu-ray.
Kid. I don't believe in fairy tales.
That was
in the series, the whole Nightmare Saga. That was one of the saddest moments that happened, I would say, in the whole series. Wouldn't you say, Steven? It's very, you know, we could debate about it for hours and hours about the most exciting part or scariest part, but that was the saddest moment in all of the Dream Warriors, Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy saga.
Crossed over, princess.
Huh?
You know, I own the original release they have that came in those like cardboard cases.
Oh yeah,
and it's Warners. They're all in a box, and as they line up, it's a picture of Freddy with like his back turned to you with the
my dreams. I am the wizard master.
By the way, Bill, did the guy who at Warners was like, no, we're not doing those cases like every other studio. We're doing these shitty cardboard plastic ones.
God, I hated those.
Is that guy
you know
fired?
What happened is you would in the DVD rack. Whenever you put it in, they didn't even work well with one another.
Yeah,
like they would catch on that little.
Yeah,
snap.
You can't slide one out and slide it back in. You're like no. Have to like grab a bunch and kind of mash them together, then stick it in.
Yeah, it would always pull two out instead of one, and it just the worst. DVD cases ever. When they started using the plastic cases, it was a great day. Many rejoiced.
Perfume shit.
So it's like perfume shit DVDs.
The comparison is false.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Spartacus on that one.
Yeah, me too. All right, next DVD is I can't recommend it. Is Pirate Radio. Because it's right. The neutered version.
Yeah, we love the movie, but it's not that version.
I mean, I know a lot of that's well, not a lot, but some people have said that it's more. It's a better streamlined version. But what I loved about The Boat That Rocked is that it was lengthy, but it was just I loved every minute of it. I loved the camaraderie. I thought it was great.
I love it exactly the way it is.
Yeah, I don't want this edited for a faster pacing version.
So are people sitting in the movie theater looking to watch like, God, I got like errands to run and shit. Could this movie please hurry up? I mean, come on.
I planned my day for a movie, but not one this
long. I
gotta
go to the post office and mail some shit. Come on, man.
Whoa. And I love the Blu-ray that I have that I imported, which, by the way, it is region free for anyone that wants it.
Awesome.
Just get it from amazon.co.uk. You can play it here on anything. And all the extras are in high definition, so you don't have to worry about that. And it has almost 40 minutes of deleted scenes.
Holy shit.
That Richard Curtis narrates. And he's, you know, it's basically, he said, listen, I could take these 40 minutes and take 40 minutes out of the film and it would be a different film, but he just made these little decisions. Basically what it was that Nick Frost's character came across as even more of a bigger asshole than he already was. But it's a great, great DVD to import the Blu-ray. Because of the deleted scenes and the commentary.
There's so many
funny
moments in the movie, too. And like a long time ago when I talked about it, when it first came out, Bill, there's scenes without any dialogue that I think are genius. Just the characters interacting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about it. But I guess some people are like, yeah, they're not even talking. Could they just cut the scene out? I got to go. I got places to be, man.
Scene after, God, I forget his name, the main character finds the girl he likes with Nick Frost's character and he goes out into the main living area and the guys bring up tea and
isn't cookies. Gemma, what is her name, Gemma Arterton or something in that? She's also in Clash of the Titans and
she's one of the women in it, I believe.
She's hot in Clash of the Titans, let me tell you that, huh?
Oh, and January Jones is in it, too, in
That's
a
right.
great role. Gorgeous.
Now Ellen he bothers Park. Me.
You know,
one of the best wedding scenes with the song Eleanor.
You know, Bill, you know who really likes slow-paced movies?
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
He likes to take his time with film.
That's right.
He loves Gone with the Wind.
The longer, the better.
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
That's right. Slowpoke Rodriguez, okay?
You will be good with the chili peppers.
Right.
Wow, is that bad?
Wow. Come on, dude.
I know. Wow. Seriously, they're... Angelo? Seriously, they're Greek. Is Angelo a Greek name, I guess? Huh?
Are you kidding me? Like, really?
Finally, The Slammin' Salmon on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yes, I've been waiting to see this.
Totally.
I'm really looking forward to it, and I love the commentary tracks on their Blu-rays and DVDs because it's the entire troupe. And this one has like
with my balls
two of
in
them,
it.
Two of them with the all of them. So. This should be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. I'm really a big fan of Broken Lizard, and I really want to see this. This movie was like really low budget, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think that, you know, at this point, they're just kind of, you know, like, they don't want to deal with the studio system, and they just kind of shoot it, and then find somebody to distribute it.
And right. And, you know, we forgot to mention during the movie segment is that Kick-Ass comes out next week, Bill.
And does it finally come out next week?
Yeah.
Matthew
Vaughn, who directed that, he did the same thing. He made that with his own money, right? And then he shopped it around?
Well, no one wanted to touch it because, the controversial issue of it with the violence and then the character of Hit Girl and her language, basically.
Is it basically that it's a young girl and she's committing acts of violence?
Well, that and she has the mouth of a longshoreman.
Oh, she has a potty mouth?
If you go if you go on the site, you can see the R-rated trailers
Yeah,
of
I've
her,
seen it.
And I think they were hilarious. But.
Oh, it's just some people are like, we can't make this into a film. She's got a dirty mouth and I don't think that would be very good right now.
I love the comics. I've read them more in the past.
Who the f*** are these guys anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
Over and over again than I have before, and I can't wait to see what Matthew Vaughn has done with the film, and how Jane Goldman has adapted the screenplay for it. So
they've cut a great trailer to it, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
They just make it look like a really badass. And you know what's funny is, I was telling Heather, I was like, it looks like. I know it's a funny movie. I guarantee it's going to be cool, but I got to tell you, it's going to be really violent too. And that's what you don't really get from the trailer. If you watch the rated R one, you'll realize it. If you watch it, you know, they have the Joan Jett song and it's like, oh man, it's going to be wacky. I'm going to take all the kids to see it. I don't think so. Notice it says rated R.
Yeah, really.
Rated R.
And hard
everything
R.
Everything seems to be what it is.
Yeah, okay.
And that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. And Ross was saying hi to me, so let me just say hi back. Hey, Ross. How's it going? Hey, I'll add your telephone number or something. I don't know how that works. But anyway, guys, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs this week, huh?
You're welcome.
DVDs again! Sorry about that.
So sad.
I know, I'm pretty upset about it. Do you forgive me, Bill?
I do. It's going to take me a little while, but I will.
Okay.
He'll get up.
No!
Oh, no! Ross said, don't patronize me. I'm not! I'm just saying hi. What's going on, man?
I don't like you.
Huh? Angelo.
How's it hanging?
How's it going, dude? All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs.
It's nice. It's fun stuff.
That's what I said.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see. Gone.
Poor Angela, he was so scared of that Echo game, Bill. Oh my god. Oh wait, what happened?
The hell was that?
I don't know.
Something that popped.
Now Ross, were you wanting to call in? Go ahead and do it if you want to. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm confused. I confuse easily, in case people don't know that. It's very easy to confuse me. Hello there.
Hi.
Hey, Ross, what's up?
Nothing much. I wasn't trying to call in. I just I was trying to upload your stuff, and then it said, send this guy a message so he knows who you are.
Oh.
And that's what I did.
And we begged for that at the beginning of the show anyways.
Whoa.
Yeah,
sorry
to
ruin your flow.
I was like, hey, Ross, do you want to call in? Or I wasn't sure.
I did, but I'm at my brother-in-law's house and have been like uploading Skype the entire show. So, hey, I finally got it to work at the end.
There's that weird tapping sound, Bill. What is that?
I don't know.
Did it stop?
Yeah, yes. It stopped.
Okay, that was me. Sorry.
Oh, what were you tapping on?
I was rocking back in my chair trying to get rid of nervous energy.
Oh, it's all right.
Yes, I do that quite a bit, too. That's why he was asking me what that sound was, because normally I'm fiddling with something.
Well, he actually thought it was a bunch of different guys with blow darts.
Well, you know what I do if I'm really nervous? I just tell those nervous feelings, go away.
Go away! Go away!
Exactly. So.
What do they say, though? They Let me in the house.
They say, go to hell, and they stay. So it's really sad.
Very good.
It makes me scared.
I didn't mean to hold you guys up. I just wanted to say hi. Oh, gosh, my neck.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the. Oh!
Yeah, slowpoke shooting. Man.
Is that like a blow dart with a rocket launcher on it?
It's an explosive dart. It lands in your neck and then it blows up once it hits you.
You got to have a lot of breath to blow that dart.
Oh, wait, Ross, I hear somebody at your door in the background. What's going on?
So let me the freaking out!
Oh, my God!
God dang, that Mark Wahlberg gets around.
That guy's going around everywhere. I'm scared.
Is he going to mess up my sports car?
He must be one of those time traveling stalkers.
Just whatever you do, if Mark Wahlberg's after you, don't shortcut through the woods on the way home, okay? Guys remember that? The guy's like, hey, I'm going to walk home through the woods all alone. It's like, Mark Wahlberg's there waiting for you. What were you thinking? It's like, damn it.
He's everywhere.
You don't have a house for him to run into. You're out in the open. You're naked. You're screwed.
I thought the time Mark Wahlberg and I spent on that roller coaster would have, you know, changed his opinion.
You think he would be mellowed very out upset. A little? Well, he didn't get anything from it. He was just like performing, you know. So, so
God,
he's still
that movie.
Wow!
Look at you, that pitiful piece of.
Oh my God, Angelo! Come on, what's this dude's problem?
You know what's funny is there was one of those Bravo specials where they do like the scariest movies. And that was actually on the list.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I remember it was that girl that's on Glee now, the redhead that was Charlie in Heroes.
From Heroes.
Talking about how intense Mark Wahlberg was in that film.
When he is at that peephole, you guys, it is so scary.
That's basically what she says.
Yeah. When you see that, you can just see the birth of Dirk Diggler right there.
So let me the freaking out!
What is that knocking against my door? I don't have a door knocker. Open the door and find out! Oh, my God! Wow.
On that list, right after that one, was that movie Crush with Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that movie is terrifying.
With Carrie Elwes.
Yeah. I always kind of lump those two movies in like the same category. Like if you were going to get a double DVD box, it would be like Fear. That one was Fear, right? With Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Fear.
Yeah, it would be Fear Crush. And then The Crush.
Like, you have an experienced
swim stalker pack.
Basically what that movie's saying is you haven't experienced fear until Mark Wahlberg is knocking on your door. Look through the people.
They
there
tried
he
to
is.
Do those movies again in the 2000s with that swim
so
fan.
Right. Yep. And she was like, let me in your effing pool. No, get out. I'm skinny dipping here. I'm shy. And the water's cold. Get away.
Totally.
Wow. Like, I can't believe that movie got past, like, you know, the executive actually reading the title and going, swim van. Oh, wow, this actually sounds pretty good.
Greenlit. Yeah, it's an awful title, too. It's like nobody's a fan of swimming.
At least exactly.
Not until the most recent Olympics, no one was.
I mean, at least pre-Michael Phelps. Yeah, exactly.
Pre-Michael Phelps, no one cared.
Wait. No. Back to school.
Oh, you're right. But that was diving. The triple Lindy, though.
Still
that would be
cool.
Dive fan.
There you go.
I'd totally go see dive story. Fan. Totally.
No! No, that would be called Blood in the Water.
No!
That's awful.
This chlorine. There's something wrong with the chlorine. It'd be something like that. Yeah.
Thank God for the chlorine.
Get out of the water! The chlorine's contaminated!
Now he follows me.
Hey, you're already in the water. Wow.
Slowpoke wouldn't get out in time.
Slowpoke, he's like, hold on.
Slowpoke's got AIDS!
He put a gun.
Yeah, it's like, gun ain't saving you from that, Slowpoke.
Is that why he's so slow? Because he's taking methadone?
He's an opiate addict.
Aw, poor Slowpoke.
Whoa.
Well, his cousin Speedy's a speed freak.
That means Slowpoke's a meth head, right?
Yeah, he's running the drugs across the border.
You will be good with the chili peppers.
Wow. Am I the only one offended by this? I mean, come on.
Is that why they don't...
That particular line, the reading of that, the chili pepper thing, that is just so blatantly offensive that it's just inexcusable.
It's hilarious because it's so wrong, you know?
Watch those as a kid, you know?
This is for children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys remember, like, the Unga Bunga Binga Bunga guy and the little kid with the bone in his hair?
Well, what about, like, Bosco and Honey? They were, like, two monkeys.
Oh, you remember them?
Heckle and Jekyll?
Yeah, it was like, is that why they don't play those cartoons anymore?
And as a kid, I'm like, I love Heckle and Jekyll. It's like, because you're a racist little kid. It's like, what? I just think they're funny. What?
I just like slapstick.
Why don't you just put in a video of Little Black Sambo while you're at it?
Oh, my God.
Go away! Go away!
Oh, we're upsetting Angelo. Make the voices go away! Oh, dude.
Come on, dude.
All right, guys. Ross, if you would ever like to visit nowhereinmulberry.com, you'll find a link to our forum. Also, you'll find a link to Mulberry Old School where you can listen to all of our old episodes. What do you think of that?
I think it's great. If you also want it, just email me and I'll send them all to you.
Cool. Also, you could call 1-206-202-3491 and send us a voicemail. Or you could send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Or you could call Ross and find out if he could borrow his Easter egg bunny outfit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's an interesting story.
So do you guys joint share the same costume, you and Adam?
No, we were like at our church. They do a volleyball league during the summer. And Adam and I were the MCs like during that thing. And so one of our recurring guests, like while we were MCs, was the bunny. Right. So we bought the bunny costume together. It's not like we were buying it for like some weird furry thing.
Like, I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you implied.
He's a furry.
Bill, what did you say? Like, why do you guys both own it or something like that? Or, no,
I was just wondering how it was split 50-50.
Oh, you said, I don't even want to ask how you guys both own it or something.
Yeah. He owns the head and I own the feet. What's the big deal?
No!
Who owns the tail? You own the
lucky
tail?
He owns the lucky part, the feet.
That's good.
Very good. Yeah, but that thing, like, now it's – they've had it for about 6 years, and now it's the nastiest, like – because it's white, right? But it's been, like, kicked around that place for the past 6 years. So now it's like an Easter bunny as if it was, like, tied to a rope and drugged behind your
it's
car.
It's like a post-apocalypse.
It's a homeless Easter bunny.
Right, and I thought it couldn't get any creepier.
It's the Easter bunny, like – oh, wait. No, never mind. Sorry.
Ah, self-editing.
I was going to say it's the Easter Bunny from the Super Chicken thing, but the Easter Bunny was the one with the gun, so it doesn't work. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
Those freaking Bushmen are everywhere.
You gotta watch out for those guys. They'll launch a freaking dart at you.
Sneaky bastards.
You know, now that I think about it, I didn't even intend that, but last week the Easter Bunny had a gun, and this week Slowpoke Rodriguez has a gun. It's like cartoon characters with guns. I like that. I bet if I even tried next week, there's no way I could find another cartoon like that. It'd be impossible.
Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, something with him loading his gun. I've got a gun!
Or as I said for years, Yosemite Sam. I had no idea.
Yosemite Sam!
Yeah, I had no freaking clue.
That works,
which is funny. Because they actually used that on a an episode of Married with Children to make Kelly Bundy sound dumb. So
he's got a gun. Really?
Yeah.
As a kid, I'd never heard of Yosemite. I didn't know what it was. So in my mind, I just always saw his name spelled. It's like, Yosemite. Okay, Yosemite.
I don't know what
I didn't know until somebody actually corrected me. Whoa.
Well, that's cool. When I was a little kid, I used to say the word awry. I'd say awry when I'd read it. What does awry mean? Oh, okay. I'll just keep reading.
That's Will's sister, awry.
Awry? Will and awry? Nice.
Cuckoo Fran and awry?
I don't even know. What are we talking about again?
I don't remember.
What do you say, guys? Ross, thank you so much for calling in. Oh, Steven.
My pleasure.
Kazoontight?
Excuse me.
No, it's all right. I guess we'll see you next week, right? Huh?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you'll see us next week.
All right, Ross. I thought you were talking to me, and I was like, I can't guarantee anything.
No, I'm saying the audience. Hey, guys, see you next week for $1.99. Only two episodes left.
Hooray.
The countdown.
Now, Rick, Now,
I'm going.
Ross.
I would, too.
Wow, I'm so sorry, Ross. You have an R name just like Rick.
Very nice.
No, what I was saying is, would you like us to end at 200 or keep going to 300?
Oh, gosh, no. If you ended at 200, I don't know what I would do with myself. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
You're like the only entertainment I have left.
Oh, Ross.
A lot is riding on you guys.
All right. Do you mean like...
No, I'm just kidding.
Do we have a special purpose, like Desmond?
Yeah.
Or,
you do, yeah.
Just don't lock us in an electromagnetic box, please.
You guys are my constant.
Oh, okay. That sounds good to me.
Go away!
Oh, my God!
Go away!
All right.
Hey, Jason, I can see on Skype Mark Wahlberg is creeping up on your window.
You can see that on Skype?
Uh-huh, I can.
Oh, my God, that's scary. Steven, be careful, okay? That's all I have to say.
I got to go out to my car in a minute.
Oh, you're never going to make it. Wait, see here. Shoot him with this. There you go.
Put Mark out of his misery.
So let me the freaking out!
Oh, hasn't taken effect yet.
Much more poison on the tip of that dart that you put down.
It's supposed to drop a rhino. What the hell? It's because of all the roids he did in the 80s when he'd do push-ups in the rain and shit. Oh, my God.
Feel it. Feel the vibration.
He eats Special K for breakfast.
That's
the cereal.
I don't know why people bought his albums because they don't realize the singing was that lady in the background. That good vibration. Yeah. Because she was singing, he was like, yo, push-ups. You know, it's shit like that.
Well, the thing I don't understand is they had him, like, curling, like, a bar with, like, cinder blocks on the sides. And, like, what does a cinder block weigh, like, 8 pounds?
Probably, yeah.
It's coarse.
He used it, I'm going to build some shelves in my house with these cinder blocks.
Because it's classy.
My favorite.
Good thing I had these extra from that retaining wall. Now I can get my pump on.
Oh, man, I love – that's awesome.
I got to dismantle my bookshelf so I can curl some curls.
Yeah, just stick some 2x4s in here and put my books up here. It's like, what books are you reading?
No!
All right, it's time to end the show, everybody. See you next week.
Go away!
Bye.
Go away!
Oh, my God.
Go away. Don't ever come back.
I don't like.
So let me in the house!
Pancake Mouse.
Now this is podcasting.
Oh my God.
His head up his ass.
Oh my God, I'm so scared.
Little bitch.
No!
And this sodding idiot.
No!
Whoa.
Right as I thought it couldn't get any creepier.
That's what I said.
Please, don't be afraid.
Stop screwing with me.
And that's when things got weird.
There it is.
Are you kidding me? Like, really?
Well,
that's just poetry, brother.
That's what I said.
You should see me without my meds.
The guy who doesn't leave his name.